Hey, Gildy, quit lying about Joe Rose, okay? He's not suspended, you lying little twerp. Quit making up stories, you idiot. You backstabber. You little squeaky voice clown, you.
How dare they drag the good name of the United States of America through the mud of Saddam Hussein's torture prison.
As prosecutor for the fright, you're like a Nazi from the old Third Reich.
Yes.
Up Clinton's anus to find anything.
Rectum.
Like women who like it in between. What's your problem, Kenny Starr? Don't you think you've gone too far? Everybody thinks you are like Joseph McCarthy.
Are you sure?
Did you know that Joe McCarthy was gay?
Yeah.
Kinda like you, Ken, except he never bathed. He kept Roy Cohn close by his side until he got fired when Broken died. What's your problem, Kenny Starr?
You turd.
It's too bad Edward Murrow's gone. He would wanna take you on like Joseph McCarthy. Creep, 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 oi! Creep, 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 oi!
You notice how he's saying creep?
Oi!
David Robert Creeper was in that Kenny Starr thing, I guarantee you that. He was probably checking out Clinton's penis. I got an interesting piece on Clinton's penis, by the way, which we'll get to. It's no Rasputin.
Well, but then who is?
10:02 at 560 WQM, the home of every kind of BS, every kind of story, every kind of bald-faced lie. And, of course,
about?
If they lie at the top, why the hell shouldn't they lie all the way down? Gildy, you're nothing but a backstabbing little lying twerp.
Ow!
Okay? See, this is a long history. The morning, after 10 a.m., from 10 a.m. on, QAM is just, you know.
Oh, we're fine.
We're kicking ass. We're doing just great. Before 10 a.m., as a matter of fact, we could say after 8 a.m. we'd be doing fine if it weren't for the fact that Greg Reed is an overgrown child and he won't sit down with Joe Rose and he keeps playing cat and mouse and lying through his teeth, which is his number one specialty. And if he'd sit down with a guy and, like, sign him to the deal that he promised him and pay him the money he promised him, everything would be just fine.
Oh, we're fine.
Hunky-dory is what it would be. But no. And so as a result, Joe, I guess, is I don't know what the real deal is. Because there's all these stories out there. You know, Muff tells you one thing, and then Clarence comes. Clarence had a good idea this morning. He said, Gildy is so good, he ought to do a walk-off show, is what he ought to do.
Ow!
You know, say a couple of words, and then give one or two of those, and just walk off, maybe with a tear or two in his eye. Walk off, Gildy, okay? You're the problem now. Little did we know that Mo turned out to be a pretty, not a good guy. I mean, he is, after all, a cancer, but nevertheless, benign as compared to, like, Gildy. He's like a benign tumor. As compared to that festering, whining little twerp. Too bad there ain't going to be no hockey season this fall, Gildy. 1,490 votes on our poll yesterday. What famous female, living or dead, is most overrated as to looks? And did we have our thumb right on her ass or what? Sarah Jessica Parker, as I always call her because for some reason I can't say it right. Sarah Jessica Parker. Just sounds better. Don't look any better, though. She had 364. She is a beast. Ever see her and a beast together? Yes. Same person. Paris Hilton, 232, and I'll say it again. Any of you guys out there so desperate to see the Paris Hilton sex tape, man, you guys must be, whatever the step is beyond desperate, that's what you are. 400 yards beyond desperate. Paris Hilton had a strong second, passing Madonna like she was laying out flat. Madonna, 211. Nasty, skanky bitch. Julia Roberts, 160. I don't know what that's all about. I mean, she's overrated, but at any rate.
She's not that great.
But she's a good actress, sometimes.
She's a fine actress. And you still haven't seen Erin, what's her bitch?
Brockovich. Yes, right. I did.
Oh, you did?
I saw it during, I don't know, was it during vacation or just before? I did see Erin Brockovich.
You never
like that.
Mentioned it.
Well, I never mentioned it because maybe I went on vacation. Who the hell knows? I did see Child's Play. Is that the name of it?
Yeah, right.
Last night. I saw most of it and then I had to go to bed. It was on like till midnight. I'm too old to be stayed up till midnight and have to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. But Chris Sarandon was in there, and George and I discovered that we both have the same opinion about Chris Sarandon, beside the fact he's a fag, and that is that he looks just like Eric... What? What?
Oh, nothing. I told myself a joke I never heard before.
Oh. No, seriously, he looks just like Eric Roberts, speaking of Julia Roberts.
Same person.
And nobody likes Eric Roberts. Even Julia probably don't like him.
No.
Julia, 160. Pam Anderson, 88. Now, once upon a time, back in the day, about 100 years ago, she looked pretty dang good. When she had, like, real boobies. Renee Zellweger, 68. Meryl Streep, 64. Maria Shriver, the no-chin bitch, 58. The First Lady of California, 58. Cameron Diaz, 57. Nicole Kidman, 49. Much Ado About Nothing, that bitch. Glenn Close, 38. She wasn't even close. Good actress, though. Halle Berry, 32. You don't think she's a good actress?
She's a fine actress.
Halle Berry, 32. There's no justice. Marilyn Monroe, 31. Sandra Bullock, 29. Amber Smith finally got 5. She was our behind the beaded curtain in the bitch yesterday. And I don't care what any of you say, hetero or not, she was okay. Just okay.
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 Why, you thought she's great? She's really super hot? She's
fine.
Smoking?
No, not smoking. She's just
get out. Nancy Grace, 4. That phony southern drawl of hers on court TV, Nancy Grace. Oh, she just makes my skin boil. And by the way, I do have it boil. It's healing up just fine. I don't have any cysts. I'm not going to go have it cut out. And all you amateur doctors out there, bug off.
It was fun.
I just thought I would tell a story about my piercing my boil because it was gross and disgusting. That's why.
Sure.
You can't say anything else on here, so might as well do that. We can talk about pus and blood. You notice, here we go. They're all lined up. Now, the last 2 weeks, it was Reagan,
right.
Because he finally croaked. And now, this week and next week, it's all Clinton. Even our poll is Clinton this week. In fact, I'll give you the poll right now, because it's not one that we're going to build. The building is boring. What's your take on Bill Clinton? Well, why not? I mean, that's all everybody's talking about right now. I didn't know that Reagan or Clinton were running for president, quite frankly. Oh, I think in his present state, Reagan might be a big improvement over what we got now, and I know that Clinton already was. But anyway, here's 3, 6, 7 choices. What's your take on Bill Clinton? He's the greatest. He was much better than W. His ego is out of control. He's trying to upstage Kerry. He has a nifty penis. He was weak, or he was an embarrassment. Okay? Oh, and our behind the beaded curtain today is Lizette Anthony. Although Eric in the beginning had Anthony Lizette, and I looked at her and I thought, that ain't no Anthony. I know little Anthony.
She ain't so little.
Lizette Anthony is on our beaded curtain. I'll give you her whole inside poop in a moment. Oh, before that, Brittany's puppy love nightmare. Poor little Brittany. She's got another nightmare every day, it seems.
I know.
And of course,
if you saw George's
picture that he put up a week ago yesterday, that looked like a nightmare. What happened to poor Brittany? It's one thing to be a little bit out of shape, but that, it looked like Brittany's head, not a very good one either, looked like her head on Rosie O'Donnell's body. It really did.
Binges, you know?
She looked as porky as a pork petunia pig. All she wanted was a cuddle with a new puppy, but in the complicated world of Britney Spears, nothing is that simple. Instead, the troubled 22-year-old singer found herself at the center of a major incident when she called a pet shop to collect the latest member of her entourage. Spears, who's recuperating after a serious knee injury, decided a fluffy white Maltese terrier was just the thing to cheer herself up. There were squeals of delight as she and her mother Lynn picked out her new pet near her home in Santa Monica, California. But as Mrs. Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure her name isn't Mrs. Spears, but that's what it says here. As Brittany drove them away, a photographer who had been waiting outside the shop claimed she had run over his foot. Within moments, Brittany and her mother were surrounded by an unwanted entourage of police. A lot of entourages in this story. Mm. Police, paramedics, and even the fire brigade. They all wanted to get a peek, I guess, or feel. As the circus unfolded around them, a miserable Brittany who had to cancel her world tour last month because of her knee problem could only sit and wait. The first police to arrive sealed off the area. Then more police swarmed in around the shop. In the end, there were 10 patrol cars at the scene. Thank God there's no crime out there in L.A. 2 ambulances arrived, brimming with paramedics, and the local fire crews turned up. Even when it became obvious they would not be needed, they found an excuse to stay for at least half an hour. Maybe to get, a peek, a feel, a squeeze, or something. In the midst of all the pandemonium, it was left to a single female officer to ask Mrs. Spears what had happened. Yeah, they keep saying Mrs. Spears in this article here. Once coaxed out of the car, she happily gave her version of events. If the presence of so many officers was meant to reassure her rather fraught daughter, it didn't work. Looking tired and distressed, Brittany started yelling. Then she sulked. Eventually, she burst into tears. Finally, after answering the police officer's question, Mrs. Spears was allowed to go. One of her daughter's minders took over the driving. The photographer who claimed to have been hurt was taken to hospital, not knowing whether any charges will be brought. But I'm sure that's a good idea, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
If Brittany drove over your foot, wouldn't you bring some charges?
Yeah, I would. I would sue her for something.
Yeah, and then settle for like a quick feel.
Settle, yeah.
Anyway, just to give you an idea, since the Clinton thing is just mammoth and big and huge this week and next week, and the book came out at midnight last night, and people are lined up by the thousands from coast to coast. Am I going to go out and buy it?
No.
I couldn't give a flying crap less. How do you like that? I love Clinton. I just don't want to read his book. 950 pages of self-aggrandizing stuff, which there's nothing I really want to know about Bubba. I wish he could run again. I'd vote for him in a heartbeat. But I'm not interested. Are you?
No.
I mean, he'll be on Larry King Thursday night. That's a good reason to miss that show.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know as if we need one. But in the book, The Hunting of the President, which the movie is out now, by Joe Connison and Gene Lyons, on page 318, and boy, you talk about chiggers in a woodpile between this bitch, Laura Ingraham, and that bitch, Ann Coulter, and that bitch, Miss Matt Drudge. So many bitches in so little time. All of the crap that they made up, and of course, all fed through the Drudge Report, naturally. You know, if you can't get him out of office, if you can't win the election, it's not close enough to be able to steal it, just to come up with some other bunches of crap to drum him out of office. That was the whole game plan. So anybody who doesn't believe that stuff about the right-wing conspiracy is strictly a right-wing lunatic. You're totally in denial. Like Cleopatra, you're in denial, baby. Page 318. Now, this is very short, just a few paragraphs. Can you handle it? Good.
Good.
With the departure of Gil Davis and Joe Camerota as counsel of record for Paula Jones in September, prospects for settling her case gradually faded. For an interim period during the weeks that followed, Bill McMillan took over as her counsel. At first, Bob Bennett, who was Clinton's attorney, regarded Susan Carpenter, McMillan's lawyer husband, with suspicion, but quickly came to regard him as a savvy guy who might sincerely want to reach a settlement. Any trust that might have been established between Bennett and McMillan, however, was lost in October when two other Jones supporters, George Conway and Ann Coulter, took it upon themselves to leak details of the supposed distinguishing characteristic of the president's genitals. With that humiliating disclosure, any attempted settlement agreement surely would be scuttled. Just to be certain, Conway sent a confidential email on October 8th to the Drudge Report. The New York lawyer refreshed Matt Drudge's memory by identifying himself as a friend of Laura Ingraham. Conway forwarded the same message to her the following morning. This exclusive was being provided, Conway wrote, on the condition that Drudge would conceal its source. Among other problems, Conway's leak was a clear violation of Judge Wright's gag order covering all attorneys in the Jones litigation. The distinguishing physical characteristic that Paula Jones says she believes that she saw is that Clinton's penis is curved when it's erect, he wrote. If it is correct, then Clinton has a urological condition called Peyronie's disease. It is caused by blockages in blood flow to the penis. If blood is constricted on one side, the penis curves when it's erect. Jones' former lawyers, Camerota and Davis, attempted to find a urological expert witness before they re-signed for the case. The idea was that the expert witness, a physician, would examine Clinton in a turgid state induced by injection and then would render an opinion as to whether it's possible that Clinton had the problem in 1991. Disgusting or what? Conway had exclaimed over his forwarded message to Ingraham, and there he had a point. It later turned out the president had no history of Peyronie's disease and that, like other shifting allegations by Jones, this canard failed to survive close examination. But truth or falsity of the allegation mattered little to Conway and Coulter. Their interest, as Coulter candidly admitted later to Michael Isikoff, was to humiliate the president. She thought a settlement would be a disaster. While Conway pushed the Peyronie's theory on Drudge, Coulter gave it to Richard Johnson of the New York Post page six gossip column. Richard Johnson.
I got it.
When Johnson's editors refused to let him print it, the item turned up on the front page of the Washington Times and on Don Imus's radio show, such as it is. Yeah. How do you like that? So there's just a little example of the kind of crap that was made up and passed from this one to that one to Ann Coulter to Laura Ingraham to Matt Drudge to the world. 10:13 at 560 WQM. If you're sick and tired of your PC being attacked by browser pop-up windows, being watched by spyware, and getting nothing but virus emails from your friends and coworkers, the easiest way to deal with these bugs is to get you a Macintosh from Mac Center, the Apple specialist in Fort Lauderdale. The Macintosh is built on an entirely different base than Windows, so all these PC pests just can't hurt the Mac. The technology experts at Mac Center can show you that it's easy to change to the Mac with thousands of programs available, including ones you already are used to, like Microsoft Word and Excel. They'll even take your old computer as a trade-in. So make the change today by calling the Mac Center at 954-486-5500. You won't get a better deal on your Mac or iPod anywhere else in South Florida because Mac Center is the home of the 5% rebate on every single purchase. Come in before June 30th.
About 30, man.
To register to win the hard-to-find iPod Mini. That's at the Mac Center on Commercial Boulevard. Call them at 954-486-5500. Don't forget to mention you heard about it right here on QAM.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAM.
At my junior, honey.
All right. One, two, three.
345. Come on over, honey, now. Come and take a drive to my big house in Chappaqua. We can both get juice and maybe a little Panama. My wife is on business. She's out for a week. I'm like a kid in a candy store. It's time to cheat. I got pretzels, hot dogs, cold beer, and pizza. You remember Little Billy, your Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's gonna be a wild time at my home in New York. Cause to me, darling, cheating's like a sport. Unzip my fly, it's all good. Coming over, honey, now blow on my trumpet. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Monica without my wife. Now a little bit of Monica's what I see. When she's far away, that's Hillary. A little bit of Monica's what I need. A little bit of Monica, memories. A little bit of Monica, here I am. A little bit of you, I'm a happy man.
Well, that's one of the Clinton bits we can still play, just barely. I mean, just right up against the edge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, close.
Huh?
But no Bill Cigar.
But no cigar. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention.
Hurricane f***ing blow.
Yeah, they lost. They made a bunch of errors and lost last night, which I'm sure Josh is probably in the dumper about that. But Josh Darrow, Clarence sends me a fax and says, here's tonight's schedule. UM against South Carolina against the Gamecocks. At 7 o'clock on AM 790. Certainly not here on QM because we got the Marlins, a real team. The Braves at the Marlins, pregame at 6:30, game time 7:05 at PP Park. Listen for a possible walk-off homer, says Clarence. In fact, I think he had the greatest line of all time. Geldy should do that walk-off show. That's a good idea. Just one last squeak would be good, and then just walk away, Renee. Anyway, Lizette Anthony, born September 26, 1963. That makes her old, is what it makes her. Not as old as me, but pretty damn old anyway. 40, which almost 41. Pretty old. Not by South Florida standards, though. Like I said, a spring chicken. Boy, she's made a lot of movies, you know it?
Mm-hmm.
Beneath Loch Ness, 2001, Farewell to Harry. Depeche Mode, the videos, 86 to 98. Tale of the Mummy, Misbegotten, Man of Her Dreams, Trilogy of Terror, Robinson Crusoe, Prince of Lies, A Fair Play, Dead Cold, Dracula, Dead and Loving It. I wonder if Eric, not Eric, Chris Sarandon was in that. What was that awful movie he was in where he played the vampire? One of those kid movies.
Fear, huh? It'll come to me.
One of those teenage goofball movies.
Fright Night.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was actually kind of entertaining.
Not a bad movie.
That Queen Roddy McDowell was in that movie,
wasn't she?
She's dead, by the way, Roddy McDowell. She was a real lady. Dr. Jekyll and Ms. Hyde with Polly Bergen and Sean Young. Whatever happened to Polly Bergen? Is she dead?
Who?
She had nice skin. The Hard Truth, A Brilliant Disguise, The Hour of the Pig. Oh, and speaking of that. What a segue. You see, it's this word relationship when you get to be old and doddering. You just have to connect the dots. I wanted to say...
Hiya, Pally!
For our good, close, personal friend, Jeff High, who's just barely hanging on. I mean, we don't want to sound like we're rejoicing over this, because he's never stole a freight train, and as much as we rip him an ass, he's certainly, compared to his colleagues over there in sales, heads and big shoulders, big head and big shoulders above some of the rest.
We can rejoice. He's not dead.
He's now, yeah, we're very happy you're not dead,
all right.
Fat boy, but he's right on the verge. He was rushed to the hospital and had a pacemaker installed, and now he's resting uncomfortably at home. Probably sitting there with a radio turned on in the back and just shoveling goodies down. He's not? He said he was.
Home tomorrow, no. Comes home tomorrow.
You sure?
No.
Dead or alive, they're bringing him home tomorrow. Well, he needed the two hospital rooms. They needed those two beds.
They got him in a flat bed. Truck.
Look for the QAM van. They left the word out there, but you're not pulling any wool over my eyes, Miguel. Look for the QAM van, 11 o'clock this morning at the Shell gas station on the corner of 27th and US 1 in the Grove. Stop by to pick up a pair of tickets while they last to tonight's Marlin Braves game. So, in other words, they got a bunch of them, and all you got to do is stop by, and they give you some tickets. How do you like that? That's on 27th and US 1, the Shell gas station. Look for the QAM van starting at when? 11 o'clock this morning. I'm sure he'll stay there until all... How many tickets has he got?
About 30, man.
So all five tickets are gone. So zip on by there. In fact, maybe you want to wait for him right now. Huh?
Okay.
Because it's free. Maybe you'll spend like $5, $6, $8 gas to get over there. But nonetheless, you can tell all your friends you got free tickets for tonight's game and impress everybody. After considerable financial turmoil, staff bloodletting, and station losses, executives at Air America tell the Wall Street Journal that the company is stabilizing and is on track to meet its financial goals.
Oh!
Well, don't get too carried away. Radio Inc. today says maybe, but The Wall Street Journal yesterday reported that many executives have not yet been reimbursed for expenses incurred before, during, and after the launch of the Liberal Radio Network on March 30.
About 30, man.
In fact, as the journal notes, creditors are lined up at the door, and it's off the air in those two big markets still, Los Angeles and Chicago. Or some illiterate massholes would say, Chicago. How come I haven't said that before, masshole? I guess I did.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, I just said it again. I like spazholes better, though. The idea that there are words that I've been saying on the air for 20 years that we can't say right now should give you a real good idea of the kind of climate that exists in your America. But, well, I mean, you know, why should we worry, right?
Right. What's it got to do with Clinton's
It's good enough for Alfred Newman. It's good enough for W. Two of Air America's initial problems, lack of clash and cash and a business plan that lack comprehension of how the... this is so great. Don't go skating on by this. A business plan that lacked comprehension of how the radio industry works. Sounds like QAM. Just prior to launch day, key executives within the company were crowing that they had raised more than $30 million from investors.
About 30, man.
When in fact only $6 million actually had been collected. Well, what's $24 million among friends, right?
Right.
Within 6 weeks of the launch, those funds had been spent and the company owed creditors more than $2 million. The second problem arose from an affiliation plan that essentially insisted that stations carry all 24 hours of the network programming, which few programmers were interested in doing. Emmis Radio President Rick Cummings says he's had brief talks with Air America. He said that is the Emmis, but maintained that he didn't want to dedicate an entire station to its shows as the network requested. They quickly realized there were a lot of things they didn't know, and one was how to do radio. Now, you're laughing before I got to the line.
Sorry.
They quickly realized there were a lot of things they didn't know, and one was how to do radio, Cummings told the Journal. Since the initial debacle, Air America's investors have created a new company, Peacock LLC, which bought the assets of the old company. They've also stopped trying to buy stations, lease airtime, or insisted stations carry their entire slate of programming. So they're hanging on, I guess is the most generous way to describe it. They're hanging on. Hopefully Randy got some cash.
Well,
hopefully she's getting paid, right? Maybe we'll get a spy report, because we sure ain't going to get any calls on the pool, because we're not building the pool today. And that, of course, is the end of the phone calls, right?
Right.
So you know what that means.
Jamba?
Right. All buildings more. All those. All your favorite people.
Oh, yeah,
but then again,
yeah.
George will have all summer to consort with you folks, and I'm really jealous. Except for Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, let's take a look at the poll. Now, look at this. I wouldn't be surprised if by 10:30, by the bottom of the hour, we have close to as many votes as we had on the whole first 2 hours yesterday.
Right.
Well, not by 10, by 11 anyway. Because they just didn't like that thing about the overrated look actor.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Oh, well, we're all men out here. You got a 98% male audience out there. We just don't know what guys are supposed to look good. Okay, we believe you. Not. What's your take on Bill Clinton? We got 115 votes. He was much better than W, 53. 58, just changed again. We got 124. Much better than W, 58. He's the greatest, 37. We love him. That was my... I don't mean greatest of all time, but I mean he's the greatest as in we like him a lot.
Recent times, right. I voted
that. He was an embarrassment, 14. 14 people who never got laid. His ego is out of control, 6. He was weak, 4. He has a nifty penis, 3. And he's trying to upstage Kerry, 2. Now, there's two ways to look at that, see, because I was thinking also the timing of this whole thing.
Yeah.
But maybe it's not such a bad idea because Kerry is really scary. Maybe the less we see him between now and election time because the polls, in fact, I got one coming up a little bit later. The polls are starting to really improve for Kerry in a lot of areas. In fact, this morning, for the first time, there's a poll that shows even on fighting terrorism, which we know the president hasn't been doing anyway. He's been too busy with his Iraq attack and a lot of innocent people dying. But even on fighting terrorism, Kerry now moved a point ahead, which has been Bush's strong suit, brought it to the same place that Greg gets his. And it ain't doing too good. It's doing about as well as Greg is doing these days. Hey, Greg, get Joe Rose signed and quit diddling around with it. This man won't stop messing with success. He puts Joe Rose in there all by himself, 8 to 10. We finally have a lead in, a guy that's not going to threaten our license, that's not going to, they're just doing fine. Big numbers in there, 8 to 10, spectacular, but he just can't get it done because Greg is an emotional cripple, an overgrown child. So if Geldy or anybody else or Bo Camper tells you that Joe Rosa was suspended, guess what? Liars! You're a bunch of liars, all right? He was not suspended. He has a little contractual dispute with management. If they ever get around to sitting down with him like a real mensch, which Greg Reed is not. But just pretend you're a mensch. Just mensch for a day. Get Jack Bailey. Call him up on the phone. Maybe he can get you to win on that show. Mensch for a day.
Don't mention it.
Okay. Hey, the best pizza in town or your money back. That's correct. You heard right. The best pizza or your money back. I bet you I know somebody who's moving to Columbus who wants to take advantage of that. You know, Jeff, this was really good, but I've had better. I can just see that. Jeff Cohen, chef and owner of the Pizza Loft restaurant, guarantees you'll be thrilled with all the food at the Pizza Loft, and he's so sure that You're going to love that pizza, three different kinds, by the way, that he guarantees his pizza is the best in town or he'll give you your money back. That's right, the best pizza in town or your money back. After 27 years in South Florida, Pizza Loft earned a reputation for quality food, great service, far beyond expectations. Jeff is inviting you to stop by Pizza Loft today and take him up on his offer for the best pizza in town, and I guarantee you, you'll become one of Pizza Loft's regular customers, too. Now they offer you Balance for Life Zone Diet menu items, as well as whole wheat pizza and whole wheat pasta, too, for those who'd like to stay alive, unlike a fat boy. Hey, stay alive, fat boy. Although, you know, even if he croaks, we've always got, just as to remember him.
Hiya, Pally!
We always got that, right?
He lives on forever.
There you go. Just like we got...
I'm dying over here!
Pizza Loft is located in Davie on University Drive, just a mile south of 595, north of Griffin Road. Pizza Loft is open every day, 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. Tons of free parking. They deliver to most of South Broward. So for fantastic, fresh, delicious Italian goodies, the best pizza you've ever had, call Pizza Loft at 954-916-8880. 954-916-8880 for the world-famous Pizza Loft in Davie, home of that money-back guarantee.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
Another audio selection from the Clinton Memoirs.
I had a meeting with the cabinet today and spent a little time with Madeleine Albright talking over national security, and I gotta admit, I was oddly turned on. Guess it turns out I've always wanted to f*** my grandfather.
The Clinton Memoirs at bookstores this summer.
Ever see Madeleine Albright and Bubba's grandfather together?
No, I never did.
Same person. Anyway, now look at that phone, man. Dead as a doornail, and that's because all of our audience are lined up at the bookstore. They're probably at Barnes & Noble's and Borders, all the bookstores all over town, waiting to buy the Clinton memoirs right now, wouldn't you think?
I know I am.
Not. When's the last time you bought a book?
The Al Franken book.
You actually bought that?
Yeah, I bought it.
I'd have given you mine, no problem at all. In fact, I'd have paid you to take it. I'm sorry, I'm just becoming less and less of a fan of Al Franken because he just, every time I see him on TV, he's such a dullard. You know, his writing is somewhat amusing. There are parts of that book that are, which I read. Remember the one day the guy sucked me into reading that one chapter on, what's his name from Sean Hannity? Man, was that boring. And I apologized to myself, like right in the middle of it, and Schmidt canned it right in the middle of the reading. It was just pathetic. Crowds line up for the Clinton book, okay? Maybe this audience doesn't care about it, but man, everybody in America, that's where it's at. Reagan last week and Clinton this week. Anybody except Bush and Kerry. I mean, and then Nader, of course, being the honest guy that he is, being a total faker, he picks a running mate who happens to be a member, a loser, member of the Green Party in California, which is his way of sneaking into, there are 22 states where the Green Party's already on the ballot.
Uh-huh.
So that's his way of getting his name on a ballot in those states, because otherwise he hasn't got a Chinaman's chance. By the way, you might be very interested, Arizona, which Bush won in 2000, or at least so they claim. You can't believe any of the states that he supposedly won. But Arizona, the latest poll shows Bush 44, Kerry 41, and Nader 2.
Okay.
Isn't that pretty interesting? Pretty close, if you ask me, since Kerry hasn't even gotten out of death mode yet.
Out of bed.
Yeah. And they said that he outspent Bush in May. I forget how many million dollars they said that the Democrats spent in May. And we did see those two boring spots. Other than that, was there anything?
No.
I don't know what kind of campaign he's running. Maybe it's like one of those kind of like sneak up when you least expect it toward the ass end of it. Huh?
Subtle.
Former President Clinton's weighty autobiography from his childhood in Arkansas to his 8 years in the White House went on sale today amid a wave of publicity expected to propel him out of the bestseller list. Eat your heart out, Al Franken and Miss Fudge. The 957-page tome, My Life Sprawls Chronologically Like a Diary, over 55 untitled chapters that are not organized by subject. The second half of the book covers his two terms as president. A four-page epilogue covers the 3 years since he left office. In all, he provides a first-person narrative of his political battles and accomplishments, his opinions on his vice president and his successor, a scathing review of his impeachment and the prosecutor who pursued it, the unctuous Kenny Starr.
I'm going to get your boy.
Kenny Starr, that one.
You mean the one that's being indicted?
That one. And what's this that you did to all staff from Josh Darrow? Ah, jeez. You know, first of all, I'm glad that he sent me this because, number one, we're running that phony auction again, which is just another revenue stream for Beasley Broadcasting. I noticed Geldy, the shameless shill. You see, Geldy is perfect to be doing the Panther games. You want to know why?
What?
He's the ultimate shill. He even makes Rimmer look like an outspoken guy. That's the kind of shill that Geldy is, and that's what the Panther organization loves. That's why he was on the air talking about the successful season the Panthers had. And that one caller ripped him an ass that day, and I congratulate that caller very enthusiastically because you are absolutely correct, sir. Not even coming close to making the playoffs yet again. Another disaster. and he's on there talking, wow, it's a very successful season.
Ow!
Yeah. You're just a licker, man. Man, he must have a tongue as long as a anteater, you think? No, I'm serious. I'm disgusted with him. He just makes me nauseous. If you ever call me at home again whining about Mo, Geldy, I'm gonna go and kidnap one of your kids. Give him to a real father. Anyway, Clarence Darrow sends me this. Let's see. Clarence has just been arrested for impersonating a program director. That's good. That's cute. That's what Duff says. He now goes before Chairman Goldberg for bail. He'll call for bail money. Every year we do this cornball thing. But anyway, let me finish that thing about the online auction that we're promoting again. We won't be promoting it on this show. They may have a promo or two, which they asked me would I be offended by that. I don't care what kind of sputum you put on the air. What do I care? Just as long as I'm not required to endorse it. It's fake. It sounds like it's for charity, and it's all they're doing is sticking the money in their pocket because these are a bunch of grave robbers, okay? So don't get sucked into that QM online auction unless, of course, you're a sports nerd.
The balls are real.
No, that's not what I heard.
I saw them.
That's not what Scoran told me.
They've been carrying them around the station. I saw them.
No, I heard Duff had them. This year, Hank Goldberg's been named the honorary chairman for David Singer's jail and bail to raise money for the American Cancer Society, which I'm not the least bit of a fan of the American Cancer Society either when you come right down to it. They waste millions and millions of dollars, and they're not doing squat. Are you a fan of the American Cancer Society?
I really don't know anything about them.
Well, good. So I'm not reading this either. Okay. And again, I don't want to pee on your parade, but quite frankly, what you guys do for us, for our charity, whatever charity we're doing every year, you could put it in a thimble and have room for Fat Boy's ass and Hank's left over in there, okay? So bug off. Getting back to the Clinton book, I bet you we got a lot of these people calling in right now who have already been to their local yokel bookstore and are probably pouring through. Huh? Oh, yeah. They're probably going to read us selected passages right now. WQAM, hello. See, there's one.
My favorite.
That was Chapter 8. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil, how are you doing, sir?
Okay.
Listen, can I just rip somebody from actually the court system in South Florida?
No, you're chronic. I don't want to talk to you. 5670560, #560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. Don't worry about me. I got a whole schmittload of stuff all piled up here, unlike Rick Riley, who used to lie that he had a whole bunch of stuff and never had nothing, which is why that show ain't on the air anymore. We love suds, but Rick, man, the truth comes out finally. Everybody hates you, including us. Even George is finally ready to admit it today. Come on, do it.
I don't hate Rick.
The hell you don't.
I don't.
Not what you told me off the air. 5670560, #560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. Let's take a quick look at that poll. Oh, don't give those poll results every 10 minutes. See, I saw that poll you took. In fact, I voted on your polls every day last week, even though I did not listen to the show except a couple minutes Friday when I heard Suds was on. But and I enjoyed that poll, even though it was an audience
suggestion, and thank God we had nothing else that day.
That's right. As a matter of fact, I remember it started out. I looked to see what your poll question was, and Eric had on there, which of these things or what thing? I don't know, not just like dot, dot, dot. Which told me right away, oh, this man don't have a poll, and it's only Tuesday.
Right.
What's your take on Bill Clinton? But the thing about the poll, well, I'll talk about the poll whenever the hell I feel like it, okay? If we didn't have the poll on the show every day, we'd be talking to Shamba and Maricon every day for 4 hours, like it was for about 2 years there.
Paul Building is boring.
They got nothing to say. I mean, this is South Florida, the land of the walking dead. Maybe that's why Kerry will do very well in South Florida, because he looks like he fits right in. Herman Munster, Jr. What's your take on Bill Clinton? That's our poll question today. We got 203 votes already. See that?
Mm-hmm.
He was much better than W, 101. Well, that goes without saying. He's the greatest, 63. We love him, we love him, we love him. He was an embarrassment, 19, 9.3% an embarrassment, just because he got a couple of,
about 30, man.
Jobs. In fact, there were a hell of a lot more jobs when he was in office than there are right now. And we're not talking about these phony jobs that are coming in now, that they keep reporting that I think they're making up. His ego is out of control, 8. That may be a good point. He has a nifty penis, 6, not according to what we just read about his fake Peyronie's disease. Did you know anything about Peyronie's disease?
No,
I think it was just a boil. He was weak, 4, and he's trying to upstage Kerry, 2 out of 211 votes. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay. No, I was just thinking for your South Florida audience, if you want a poll that everybody's going to call in on, you're going about it all wrong. You have to do... which Miami Dolphin will have the biggest muscles this year? And then you'll get all the calls.
And by the way, is Jay Fiedler really still on that team, Josh?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Oi!
Boy.
And the touchy-feely guy. Boy, they're going to... I wouldn't be surprised if they go about 4-12 this year, the Dolphins.
Writing that down.
Okay. It wouldn't surprise me. How are they going to win any games with that team, they got? And then, of course, they got that Jack Martin coaching the Panthers if there is a season. With Jack Martin coaching and Geldy calling the games, that's definitely a losing combination right there. And Mike Keenan, who already is a star, I'm hearing rumors about he wants to trade Stephen Weiss and he wants to do this, he don't like this one. I for the life of me, just because Jack Martin wanted him back, Jacques Martin, see, we don't dignify the Frogs by doing that French accent, we just call him Jack Martin here in Ontario where people speak it English or else. That's right. We need Jacques, what was his name back?
Chirac.
No, not Jean. We need Jean Chrétien back. That's what we need.
Oh.
They got the election here next Monday. The biggest bunch of stiffs you ever saw in your life. Paul Martin, or is that Martin? Yeah, he's from Quebec. He's another one. And then you got this right-wing Bush wannabe, Stephen Harper, who's the conservative Nazi candidate. And then Jack Layton from the New Democratic Party, the NDP, emphasized the P part. Speaking of that, how's Josh Beckett doing? Summer is here, but are you still embarrassed to take off your shirt at the pool or wear that nice skirt you saw in the window? Yeah, I understand that even Joe Rose is embarrassed to wear that nice skirt. Come on back tomorrow, Joe. Quit monkeying around, okay? We can't handle this Geldy and Bo show after Mo and O and Geldy and Bo. It is a disaster. What's going on in this station? Anyway, what are you finally doing to lose weight and feel better about yourself and stay alive, unlike certain fat people? I don't want to mention no names. Isn't that sad? Now the guy's so fat he's got a pacemaker.
Hiya, Pally!
But take advantage... What?
He's not that.
Yeah, barely. Just barely. First it was the walker and the cane and now the pacemaker and the knee operation and the hip. It weighs, what, about 800 pounds, soaking wet? Who would have thought that you could have 3 meals and 2 snacks delivered right to your door daily and still lose weight? Well, with Balance for Life, you can. And don't forget, the beauty of the deal is you get to pick your meals. Pass on the Baba Ganoush. That's my advice. Each week you'll get a different menu with 2 selections for every meal. No other company offers anything like this. Select your breakfast, lunch, dinner, and 2 snacks. That's it. There's no cleaning, no cooking, no calorie counting, no carb counting, and you lose weight because all the meals are based on the proven zone diet by Dr. Barry Sears. For example, menu choices this week are portobello and provolone omelet, veal marsala, and crab Louis salad. How can you call that dieting? People on Balance for Life are losing an average of 15 pounds a month without even trying hard. Plus, for a limited time, get a free pedometer when you sign up. Track your steps and increase the weight loss. And now try their special 7-day trial never offered before. Call their toll-free number, 1-866-225-4543 to get started or get more information, or go online at balanceforlife.com. That's balanceforlife.com or call toll-free 1-866-225-4543.
Live and local, this is 560.
The radio is all yours now.
QAM.
Fucking blow.
The following is a paid infotainment.
Hi, folks. I'm the guy in the ugly sweater.
And I'm the guy with the fake Australian accent. And have I got an offer for you? What if I told you of a way to save thousands of dollars on your petrol bill?
Huh? What the heck is petrol?
Petrol means gasoline.
Ooh, gas is expensive. What do I have to do to save money? Don't tell me I have to throw away my car.
Stop being a moron. I can show you how to save up to 100% on your gasoline bill by utilizing our new gas and dash system.
Wow, gas and dash? Sounds complicated.
It's not. It's so simple, even a common criminal could do it.
Wow. How does the gas and dash system work?
It couldn't be easier. Just pull up to the gas station, fill your tank as normal, and then, instead of paying for it, just drive away!
Oh, hey, I get it. Gas and dash. Isn't that great, folks?
I told you gas and dash is a real steal.
Say, does it work at all gas stations?
That's the beauty of it. Gas and dash works one time at every gas station.
I'm sold. How can I order the gas and dash system?
I'd love to tell you, but if I did, I'd be an accessory.
Terrific. Hey, folks, don't go away. When we come back, our friend will tell you how to save money on expensive restaurant bills.
Uh-huh. It's my patented chew and screw system.
Wow. I'm getting hungry already.
Goodbye, everyone.
So long, folks.
10:48 at 560. See, you don't watch infomercials, so you can't really appreciate it as much as some of the rest of us.
No, sorry.
Well, why not?
No,
there are times, even when you have 700 channels like I do, when the infomercial, especially like on a Sunday, early on Sunday before the Talking Head show start. It's some of the most entertaining crap on there. You haven't been watching Ron Popeil and the...
No, I will say this, though.
Yes?
On the Spanish language TV cable channels, they have these infomercials for, I don't know what they are, where they just have women's asses parading around constantly. I think they're for nylons or something.
Oh, there you go.
I watch those over and over again.
Amor descarado. De lunes a viernes a las 7 de la noche. Solo por ti.
There you go.
Amor descarado.
Anyway, there's not very good news for President Bush in the latest ABC News Washington Post poll. In a two-way race, Kerry 53, Bush 45%. In a three-way matchup, Kerry 48, Bush 44, and Nader 4. Nader continues being an arrogant, pompous ass with an ego the size of Mount Rushmore. Unacceptable. I think maybe they're going to have to, like, break his legs. That might be the only way to get the message across. Also, the Wall Street Journal, though, which is to the right of Attila the Hun, their battleground poll has better news for Mr. Bush. The president continues to gain on John Kerry among likely voters in the 16 battleground states. Mr. Bush now leads in 7 states, up from the 5 states he held 2 weeks ago. How do you like that? And, of course, keep in mind all of these numbers. Kerry hasn't even awakened from a deep nap yet. What's going to happen when he wakes up? It'll either be very, very good or you never know. Speaking of bad news for candidates, Republican Senate candidate Jack Ryan in Chicago pressured his wife, well-known actress Jerry Lynn Ryan, to have sex in clubs while others watched. She charged in divorce documents released yesterday. Something George can relate to, those sex clubs, those swing clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Try to schlep your wife in there and embarrass and humiliate and degrade her.
And she won't do anything anyway.
No wonder she hates you like poison. By the way, speaking of poison, how's her lemonade doing? The Boston Public and Star Trek Voyager actress said she angered Ryan by refusing. She did acknowledge infidelity on her part, which she said took place after their marriage was irretrievably broken anyway. In the documents, Ryan denied the allegations, saying he'd been faithful and loyal to his wife. In a news conference held after the documents were released, Ryan repeatedly refused to comment on the allegations, saying his response in the court papers spoke for itself and that he would not discuss them again. It's not helpful for my son or for she or me to reopen these allegations, Ryan said. I'm sticking by the exact things I said 5 years ago. While Ryan has spent time in recent days attempting to shore up support among the party leadership, one Republican member of the Illinois delegation called for Ryan to withdraw as a candidate, Ray LaHood, Republican from Peoria. That's the hood he hangs out in, said Ryan needs to quit the campaign for the good of himself, his family, and his party. There's no way the people of Illinois are going to countenance this behavior from a Senate candidate from the Republican Party, LaHood said. Ryan said he's got no plans to withdraw. My intention is to stay in the race, he be saying. Jerry Lynn Ryan charged during a custody hearing that Ryan took her on surprise trips to New Orleans, New York, and Paris in 1998, and that he insisted she go to sex clubs with him on each trip. She said that after going out to dinner with Ryan in New York, he demanded that she go to a club with him. It was a bizarre club with cages, whips, and other apparatus hanging from the ceiling, she said.
All right.
Now, how come I had that echo on it?
Did you hit it, too?
You just hit it also?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. She said Ryan asked her to perform a sexual act while others watched, and she refused.
All right.
So, I know which one. Ooh, ooh.
She said they left, and Ryan apologized to her and said it was out of his system. But then she said he took her to Paris and again took her to a sex club. She said she cried, became physically ill at the club, and her husband got angry with her. She said she could never get over that incident. Yeah, you can relate to all of this. She also accuses him in the papers of being controlling and lying repeatedly throughout the proceedings. I did arrange romantic getaways for us, but that did not include the type of activity she described, Ryan said in the papers. We did go to one avant-garde nightclub in Paris, which was more than either one of us felt comfortable with. We left and vowed never to return, he told the court. Yada, yada, yada. How do you like that? Another one of those right-wing, I don't want to say perverts, because we're all perverts. Another one of those right-wing perverts, like I said. Holier than thou. Anyway, here's more of that ABC News poll. This is some pretty interesting stuff. It's on our website. It's much too long and ponderous. But the interesting part of this, for the first time in the ABC News Washington Post polls, more than half of Americans, 52%, say the Iraq War was not worth fighting. It should be 92% already by now. 5 more soldiers dead in the last 2 days, I should point out.
It's worth it.
We had the 4 Marines yesterday, but there was one other one near Baghdad. 5 more. We're approaching the 900 mark, and before we know it, it'll be 1,000. 1,000 lives just sacrificed for nothing. And we're like 8 days away from that magical day of June.
About 30, man.
When we do that handover, when we throw the keys to the kingdom up in the air and say, hey, somebody grab the grass ring and we're getting out of here. Of course, we're not getting out of there. That's the bad part. And if there's going to be a civil war, if there's going to be just massive wild bloodshed, who the hell knows, but one can only imagine there probably will. There's been a steady slide in the belief that the war has enhanced long-term U.S. security. 51% now say so, down 11 points just this year alone. Here are some of the questions. How the war with Iraq impacts U.S. reputation in this ABC Washington Post poll. The war with Iraq has damaged the U.S. image. In July of last year, 63% said it damaged the U.S. image. Now 76% caused long-term damage to U.S. relations with France and Germany. Last year, 51% said that. Now 64%. Improved U.S. security. Last year, 62% said. Now only 51% of the very naive fools out there. Contributed to Mideast peace. 50% said that last July. Now 42%. And improved Iraqis' lives, 72% said that last July, 65% say that not. I guess those are the Iraqis who are still alive they're talking about?
You're right.
Right. So there you go. It's on our website for those who actually can read, those who care. That's why it's such a joke about the idea that our audience is out there buying a Clinton book, 975 pages. You should live so long. Maybe, how many people in this audience do you think will buy it?
About 30, man.
Maybe. Maybe. We're maybe exaggerating right there. What's your take on Bill Clinton? That's our poll question today, since he's like all over the news. We're sure seeing a lot more of him than John Kerry. And that, like I said before, may not be a bad thing. 278 votes. What did we get yesterday in the first 2 hours? 280? Something like that?
Something like that.
278 40. Already. No, I think it was 208. Well, no, it was pretty weak. He was much better than W, 131 votes. He's the greatest, 86. So between those right there, you got 78%. See that? Of this very astute nice audience. He was an embarrassment. Look at that number.
About 30, man.
10.7%. 30 people say he was an embarrassment. His ego is out of control. Another 13 jumping on him there. Say that. He has a nifty penis, 10, who I guess have seen it up close. He's trying to upstage Kerry, 5, and he was weak, 5, out of 295 votes. We just eclipsed yesterday's first 2 hours.
Oh!
And we apologize for that really bad poll, all you homophobes out there who can't stand the reality. All these queens in denial, you know. Oh, well, I just like to watch, well-built guys slap each other on the ass and play ball.
You're gay.
Yeah. Take showers together, things like that. The faggery of sports. That should be the theme of QAM. The faggery of sports, man, of guys showering together, slapping each other on the ass. Let me say it again, because nobody will ever answer that question. What other endeavor in human history where guys, hit a walk-off home run, for example, and some guy come as he's rounding the bases, the first base coach slaps him on a
rectum,
pats him on the ass.
Sports.
Guy goes out, the manager or the pitching coach goes out to remove the pitcher, and as he takes the ball from his hand, he gives him a pat on
rectum,
on the ass. Even in the O.J. trial, Johnny Cochran didn't pat F. Lee Bailey on the ass, and believe me, that was a big target. Bobby Shapiro didn't slap what's-his-name on the ass. They're very Dreck. Not that we saw, anyway. He was given a Black Power salute to the jury. Can you imagine if he would have been convicted and one of the jurors would have pulled out like a hooded cap or something? Yeah, like a KKK hood.
Right.
I mean, oh, my goodness, talk about hysteria in the hood. They'd have been going apeshit. But no, this guy gives the Black Power salute. Hey, you go, O.J., and then think of all those spaz holes that were cheering him on the freeway in the white Ford Bronco. Boy, I'm telling you, this America, it's just, we got a lot of work to do, baby, a lot of work. 10:56 at 560 WQAM, where work is a word we don't like too much. With the heat of the summer here, now's a great time to get out of that miserable car you've been driving and get yourself into a great new Toyota from Armstrong Toyota of Homestead. You'll find them on US 1, just 20 minutes south of the 836. They're worth that drive because they're going to save you so much cash. They'll save you thousands on great new fancy-schmancy Toyotas. And with rising gas prices, maybe you want to get a car with more fuel economy, like the legendary Toyota Corolla can be yours for just $11,990 or lease it for just $209 a month. Need a great Toyota for that college or high school graduate? How about the Toyota Echo, lease priced at just $199? Or need a truck? The V6 Toyota Tundra regular cab can be yours for just $239 a month. If you're looking for the hottest new cars around, check out the Corolla XRS and Solera Convertible. They're both in stock right now at Armstrong Toyota of Homestead. Their service department is even open late to late weeknights to make sure your service work is done. They're committed to treat you like family and make you a happy camper. In fact, Armstrong Toyota of Homestead was the first dealer to offer you free tires and batteries for life, and now they're the first to offer free replacement parts for life. That is absolutely correct. Tires, batteries, and free parts for life. Nobody, nowheres do that. So why waste time and gas schlepping all around town to those big mega dealers who rip you off? See our good buddy David Rich, the GM at Armstrong Toyota of Homestead, for an unbeatable deal. Drive a little and save a lot on that great new Toyota only at Armstrong Toyota of Homestead.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
You drudge packing?
That's stupid.
Come on, everybody, get into the spin.
definite position.
Definite position.
Now do a total turnabout.
Total turnabout.
Shake your finger at the media. See how good they'll be. Everybody do a thing. Come on, everybody, join the promenade. When you start to fade and the public is swayed, hustle free trade and stage a bombing raid. Everybody do the Clinton. Come on and slide over to the middle.
Over to the middle.
Straighten up and step light.
Up and step light.
Lean it to the left a little.
To the left a little.
Now lean a lot to the right. Bend over, making everybody happy.
Everybody happy.
Now let the other guy lean.
Other guy lean.
Try appearing Jeffersonian. Bring another crony in. Everybody do the Clinton. Now step up.
Winston.
Back down. It was harder than you planned. Too much with Streisand. Shuck and jive. And step light.
Up and step light.
Lean it to the left a little.
To the left a little.
Now lean a lot to the right. And now a little diplomatic sidestep.
Diplomatic
sidestep. Stomp on the nominee.
On the refugee.
Start to feel a little ill at ease with your own abilities. Everybody do the Clinton. Now do the old administrative shuffle. In the continental hop.
Continental hop.
Have another waffle.
Have another waffle.
And try to flip your latest flop.
Flip your latest flop.
Now hang in there and try to keep on trucking.
Try to keep on trucking.
Take it one step at a time.
One step at a time.
Do just like your mama says. Make good on your promises. Everybody do the thing.
Do just like your mama says. Make
Hillary won't. It's up to Hillary. Everybody do the Clinton.
Do the Clinton. Come on and do the Clinton.
I'm dying over here.
Do the Clinton. Come on and do the Clinton.
Do the
Clinton. Come on and do the Clinton.
I have no line.
Do the Clinton. Come on and do the Clinton.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's 104, but that's a long thing, you know what?
Yeah,
keep in mind for later on in the hour.
I wrote it on my arm.
Lurk for the QM van. It's there right now. Take a peek at it, okay? It's there at the Shell gas station on the corner of 27th Avenue. Now, isn't that northwest 27th Avenue and US 1 in the Grove?
I don't
know. Isn't
it? In the Grove?
Yeah. I don't know either. Well, anyway, wherever the hell it is, at the corner of 27th Avenue and US 1 in the Grove. I'm so sorry I asked that. Stop by to pick up a pair of tickets. What?
Southwest, I think.
Well, something. West. While they last at tonight's Marlins-Braves game, that's on the 27th Avenue, US 1, Southwest, at the Shell gas station. Just look for the QM van and Miguel. He'll be waving frantically, saying, anybody want these tickets?
No.
And by, oh, speaking of that, I'm so glad that I fell into another bucket of crap right there. Next season, don't let me forget, if we're all still alive, this business of Miguel holds onto my tickets, because I just don't happen to be there, and then cherry picks all of the decent games, and then gives me back like a skeleton, that ain't gonna happen no more, okay? I mean, I like Miguel, but not that much. I have people that would like to have those tickets who actually would enjoy going to the games. Not just all of their relatives and illegal aliens that just hop off a banana boat. So don't be letting him, hey, Ray Perry, don't be handing any more of my tickets to Miguelito, okay? Otherwise, we'll get the real Escobars all over his ass. UN slams U.S. over spending Iraq funds. This is another scandal that will not be a big scandal because nobody's got their eye on the balls. That's the problem. Everybody's eye, they're on Reagan, they're on Clinton, they're not watching the bouncing balls, man. It's like a shell game. Wasn't that where Miguel is? And while you're there at the Shell station, I don't want to like piss them off or anything, but don't buy into that gas because it'll mess up your gas tank. United Nations mandated auditors have sharply criticized the U.S. occupation authority for the way it spent more than $11 billion in Iraqi oil revenues and say they faced resistance from coalition officials. In an interim report obtained by Financial Times, the Brits, KPMG says the Development Fund for Iraq, which is managed by the U.S.-led Coalition Provisional Authority and channels oil revenue into reconstruction projects, is open to fraudulent acts.
Oh, my God.
What a surprise. The auditors criticized the CPA's bookkeeping and warned the CPA does not have effective controls over the ministry's spending of their individually allocated budgets, whether the funds are direct from the CPA or via the Ministry of Finance. The findings come after the U.S. complaints about the U.N.'s administration of the Oil for Food program under Saddam Hussein. In other words, they were ripping off billions, we're ripping off billions, and in the meantime, we're busy pointing fingers at each other while all your money and all the Iraqis' money is getting flushed into somebody's pocket. How do you like that?
What a surprise.
Yeah, what a shock. The raping of the public again. We're too busy with ball games and walk-off home runs. I still can't get over that. I can't relate to it. I can't associate with it. What's even more disturbing is that punks like Josh and other young punks are walking around thinking like, oh, well, that really is a baseball thing. I mean, are you some kind of a moron that don't understand the basic elements of baseball?
He'd respond, but he had to go and tell somebody that the audio vault just crashed.
Oh. Well, that's the way it goes. That's maybe Fitzer could come in here and handle that instead of calling me up here trying to invite himself to bother me and take up a day of my life on my vacation. Maybe he could come in here and fix it if you speak to him real nice, although I don't think he's got the capacity to do it. Look at this phone, man. Is it smoking or what? Remember yesterday?
Right.
Building that pole yesterday one and that one and at least in the last 2 hours, not the first two. What?
We were building a pole.
We were building a pole. That's all the South Florida audience can do, man. It's the old totem pole deal.
By the way, both vaults are broken right now.
Both vaults? Well, what's the other vault?
The one in the control room.
I see. So in other words, both audio vaults are down, which means no spots.
Right.
That's a bonus.
Oh,
yeah. That means we can get thousands of your great calls today. No spots except the live spots, which I happen to have right here in my hand. So I'll just do some freebies, some extras for all of our fine sponsors.
Sure.
Like Pompano Park. I don't even know what's going on at Pompano Park because Troy Stratford, I haven't heard from him in a coon's age, if you pardon that expression.
I haven't seen him either.
Well, maybe he's suspended again. Let's start a rumor. Troy Stratford got suspended.
No!
That's what Geldy will be putting on the air tomorrow.
No!
Geldy, you are such an asswipe, man. It's pathetic. It is so sad watching a no-talent twerp with a squeaky voice like you just sucking your way to the top. He's kind of like the Pete Bolger of Beasley Broadcasting. Just kissing ass, sucking his way along to the top, just like with the Panther organization, same thing. Meanwhile, nobody wants him on their show. That's why he's in there hoping that Joe gets canned, that Joe Rose never comes back. Howard, I guarantee him, don't want him on his show.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed. He'd like to dump him off of there now that he knows that he hates him like poison, and he's been bad-mouthing him all over town. And, of course, Joe Rose don't want any part of Geldy on there. He thought he'd just slide right in there, when his mentor came on. And Joe's smart enough, he don't want that squeaker on there. So now you're stuck with, like, fill-ins and maybe the Panther games if there's a season, which we doubt very seriously, okay, mister? And well deserved. WQAM, hello.
Yeah, calling to speak to the Mad Dog.
All right.
There you go. WQAM, hello.
I have a poll suggestion for Neil.
Yes?
It's a food poll, actually.
Food poll?
Yeah. What fast food or restaurant has your favorite french fry?
Was that the same guy that called about the dolphin muscles? I think that sounded like the same loser.
The muscle man, yeah.
No, he said, which dolphin has the biggest muscle? 5670560. I mean, I got a whole bunch of stuff here, but since we have no spots anytime in the immediate future, I mean, might as well get a million calls in here today. Here's your chance. Let's hear about that Clinton book. Let's hear about Bubba. What are your memories? What are your thoughts? What's your take? WQAM, hello.
Put George on your...
See, they can't even handle it. They can't even handle it. Get lost, will you, okay? Go whisper in somebody else's rear, you moron. And then if you're on, put Neil on. You're boring. Just get lost. Get a life.
I have no life.
Get a suicide would be good. Sounds like an order. We'd put it on the air. In fact, we'll have Screw-Ann come in with a machete that OJ was after her with. Chop your head off right in the middle of the show, schmuck. 5670560, pound 560. Wouldn't you like to beat him with a 2x4 until... Oh, like to a bloody pulp. And then we can just hold his head up in the air like one of those, severed heads.
I have a beating device, as a matter of fact.
Ooh, really?
It's an asp.
I'd like to hit him in the asp several times.
It's a black
your
asp.
Foot. WQAM, hello.
Well, gracious good morning. I'm on my way to buy Bubba's book.
Really? Well, here's the first one. How do you like that?
Well, you do have coherent people in your audience, you know.
But coherent people don't call talk shows, let's face it, okay? You're the first one in years.
You're right, but I call yours, sir.
Do you?
Because I appreciate your perspicacity and intellect.
Man, oh, man. I'm about 2 feet out of the chair already. The suction's so heavy. Okay, now where are you going to buy the book?
I'm going down to Books and Books because when he comes down next month, I want to go have Bubba sign my book.
Oh, that's where he's going to be?
Yeah, Aragon Avenue, Coral Gables.
All right.
Got to pay full boat, $35, but I dare say Bubba's worth it.
And well worth it at twice the price. Okay, enjoy. Maybe we'll have you call in and read during the summertime. Well, one few passages on the air.
I hear Bush is working on his, too, but he keeps running out of crayons.
Okay, have a great time.
Yeah.
Say hi to our friends down there on Aragon Avenue, the Aragon Ballroom in Coral Gables. How do you like that? There's the first one that's going down there to buy the Bubba book. Everybody in town is doing it. Now, what are we going to do? We got to just forget about these breaks? We
what
can't play any.
I mean, Josh is going to go find out what.
He's going to get some what?
You should obviously definitely do the live spots wherever appropriate.
Well, there ain't no live spot. Now, this is my luck. This hour.
Yeah.
There's only one live spot. Now, all the other hours, all the avails are sold. But, of course, this hour, we got whatever we got.
Why don't we figure on making up a lot of spots later on so, if you can read a live spot, why don't you?
So just do a whole bunch of live spots. How about if I just do them back-to-back now? Huh?
At least do one now.
Let's see. I got 1, 5. I got 9 more. I could do them all now. By 11:30, I could be done.
No, just do one.
Like the old Alan Burke deal. By the way, he's a pretty good guy, Alan Burke. Rest in peace. He really shocked the hell out of me. There's a classic example. Somebody who came off on the air as being abrasive and abusive and arrogant, egotistical, the dean. It's Mr. Burke to you. And he was a good guy.
I met him once.
He was a great guy.
He was very nice.
I told you after I had that stroke that time, he called me at home to see how I was. I was shocked. I almost had another stroke. I was so shocked. Maybe that was his plan. But he was a pretty good guy, Alan Burke. He's dead. The good people, and he was never fat either. He was always a skinny guy, but he's dead. What did he die from?
Age.
No, he wasn't that old.
I don't know.
What did Alan Burke die from? Did he have the big C or something? He had something. What a shame. And, of course, those INZ. Let's reminisce about WINZ, okay? Because these calls aren't going to be worth a crap. You know that. Like Line 9 is always the same guy. QAM, hello. See? It's always the same schmuck. Although now he's moving around a little bit. Yeah, let's talk about all the dead people. Nancy, the receptionist, she's dead. Kyle Isley, my producer, he died from
right.
From melanoma, sunburn, cancer.
Really?
Yeah. He was like 24, 25 years old, something like that. Jim Harper used to be the production director. And of course, my good friend Bill Calder. I think I and Z, I think they're all dead. Whatever happened to, what's his name?
What's his name?
Frank Motek.
Don't know.
Alice Rantel had the hots for Frank Motek. Boy, no wonder he had to get out of town. He went off to do news somewhere, and we never heard from him again. And then, of course, the engineering staff, that was your close personal friend, Tim Behan. And if it wasn't for Tim Behan, I don't think we ever would have had the DCS. Wasn't he the one who, discovered it for us, or was that Mitch Ween?
I don't recall. Mitch Ween, I think, ultimately gets the credit for that.
Well, if we didn't have the DCS, we couldn't play...
It's Dave in Miami Town.
All these thousands of nifty things we got.
Right.
We could play some of the short stuff, like that, but not all these great, we could, but we have to do it the old-fashioned way on carts. And remember what they said at Paxson, we don't do carts. You know, even the Paxson people were better than the Cox Broadcasting people. That tells you how bad Bob Neal and that whole bunch of grave robbers were. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. Paxson people, they actually made money on us. They actually sold spots. We were sold out. They knew what the hell the station was all about. We had the best equipment in history. I mean, whatever you wanted, even if you didn't want it, they got it for you.
Yeah.
And it was beyond belief.
And?
Yes?
We had Ron and Ron. Well.
Nothing's perfect.
Ron and blank.
Right. But that's right. Who didn't show up? Then we had Ron and Sonny Fox. We had Bennington and Sonny Fox. And then we had the guy in there that was making fun of his kid being a retarded or whatever it was.
Billy.
What was his name?
Billy Hayes.
Oh, brother. Did I ever see him?
I don't know.
I sure hope not. Man, you people that thought Ron and Ron had a show, you really belong in Temple Terrace right away. Private Craft soars into space and history. This guy yesterday giving a big thumbs up, Mike Melville. No relation to Herman. The man who became the first person to pilot a privately built craft into space called his flight almost a religious experience after a safe landing yesterday morning. Test pilot Mike Melville landed at Mojave Airport about 80 miles north of L.A., 8:15 Pacific, whatever they call that, Pacific time. After taking the rocket plane spaceship onto an altitude of more than 62.5 miles, the internationally recognized boundary of space, he was right on the edge. He said he had a hell of a view from 62 miles. The colors were pretty staggering from up there. It was out of this world. Aren't you excited about that? Pretty soon we can all each have our own spacecraft.
I am excited about that.
Yeah.
I want on now.
And we can get all the old cockers, too, in South Florida to go flying up there a little bit. You think they're good on a highway. Wait till you see them up there. It's going to be a real picnic. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Want to hear from all the people who are going out to buy the Clinton book or not? I think we just heard from them already. WQAM, hello.
Yes, tell Neil I think Alan Berg was assassinated, shot in his office.
No, that was Alan Berg in Denver, not Alan Burke. You're an idiot. Now get out of here. What a jerk. Rhymes with Burke. That was Alan Berg, B-E-R-G. We're talking about Alan Burke in Miami. See, this is a local show, even though I'm a long ways away, thank God. It's a Miami show, Alan Burke, B-U-R-K-E. Rhymes with jerk, okay? Rhymes with old, idiotic jerk, as the bridge tender would say.
That's Mr. Burke to you, dummy.
Yeah, dummy. Can you believe that?
Yeah, no, it was great.
Seriously, what am I deluding myself? Why don't I just hear going like that for 4 hours every day? Time to get a 30 share and play some of these drop-ins like that? I'm gonna like make some kind of an impact. Why, oh why, can't I ever get it through my thick old doddering skull?
Why?
That I'm dealing with 99% of these goofballs, man. The land of the walking dead, that's South Florida. These are the people who put the duh in Florida, as our bald-headed little friend would say. 5670560. I'm gonna do the live spot, and then we'll just go from there.
We might have spots.
We might have spots.
We might.
Or we might not.
Do we? Josh, is it up? Is it working?
Yeah, in a second. Go ahead and start.
All right, well, I'm going to do this spot, and then we'll just pretend that we're going into the break, and if I hear just silence, then that's your tough luck. Hey, nobody, speaking of how people died, wants to talk about cancer or heart disease, not at least for ourselves, and yet you owe it to yourselves and your families to be sure that you're in good health. It's a proven fact that disease responds extremely well to treatment if you detect it early, which is why I went to Hollywood Diagnostic Center several weeks ago. I had the coronary heart scoring, the full body screening exams. It's like a virtual trip inside your body, all around your heart, all through your lungs and down through your pupic and through the entire. It's an amazing thing. And these tests can really detect cancer or other life-threatening diseases in their early stages. They also have their virtual colonoscopy, which is so much less intrusive than your ordinary colonoscopy. But the bottom line to all of this is that if anything bad is going on in your body, you can detect it early enough to still be able to do something about it. Could be a life-saving deal. For all your imaging exams, call Hollywood Diagnostic Center at 954-966-3600 for the test that can give you and your family real peace of mind. When you walk out of there with a clean bill of health, you feel really like you might live another week. At Hollywood Diagnostic Center, they offer you state-of-the-art imaging equipment with open MRI, high-speed CAT scan, nuclear medicine, and so much more. Hollywood Diagnostic Center, they've been serving South Florida for over 20 years, and their facility, which is super, by the way, also provides a complete mobile diagnostic service that can come right to you. For example, if you break a leg or if George's mom breaks her neck. Call Hollywood Diagnostic Center for your imaging exams today. Like I said, could be a life-saving call, 954-966-3600. Takes just a few minutes to do these tests, and it could be one of the most important things you could ever do for yourself. 954-966-3600.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560 QAM. Nation presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Drunken Fireworks Lighter.
Mr. Drunken Fireworks Lighter.
Our founding fathers set forth these inalienable rights: life, liberty, a case of beer and a shopping bag of explosives that you set off in your driveway with a cigarette.
Try to stagger away in time.
You, Mr. Drunken Fireworks Lighter, wouldn't dream of putting yourself inside a car in your condition. But here you are putting a cherry bomb in your neighbor's mailbox.
There's no mail today anyway.
Heck, put one in his trash can too.
There's no trash pickup today.
So the next time your terrified pets are leaving little yellow puddles every time an explosion is heard from across the street, raise your wadded-up paper towel and salute to Mr. Drunken Fireworks Lighter, a real American hero.
Mr. Drunken Fireworks Lighter.
Call 911 and help him look for his finger.
1126. Now, what are we going to do? Do an extra break and make up all the spots this hour?
Sure.
We can do that, no problem. You know how easy I can do that. Bad news, De La Rock. A mortar attack on a U.S. Army camp near Baghdad today left a U.S. soldier dead, 7 other people, including a foreign contractor, injured. So the numbers keep rising and rising, and the public sits back and like, well, this ain't too good, and it's not looking like everything is so
we're fine.
And speaking of that, speaking of people who lie like crazy, you know this Commissioner John Layman from the 9/11 Commission who's been like sucking up to the Bush people like crazy and trying to distort the truth? Well, guess what? Too bad. Not working. The CIA concluded a long time ago, this is from Newsday, that an al-Qaeda associate who met with two of the 9/11 hijackers in Malaysia was not an officer in Saddam Hussein's army, as alleged Sunday by a Republican member of the 9/11 Commission. They just keep trying to force all of this BS to make the story true. In other words, we lied like crazy, but now we'll create all kinds of other lies to make the first lie like seem like it was true. Commissioner John Lehman, who was Navy Secretary under Ronald Reagan, who's still dead, said new documents indicated that at least one officer of Saddam's Fedayeen, an elite army unit, was a very prominent member of al-Qaeda. Guess what? None. Lehman's remarks on NBC's Meet the Press lent support to the Bush administration's insistence that there were strong ties between Hussein and al-Qaeda. The administration officials said the CIA and U.S. Army obtained a list of members of the Fedayeen shortly after the invasion of Iraq last year. Some, he said, had names that were similar to Ahmad Hikmat Shakir, but he said the CIA concluded a long time ago that none were the al-Qaeda associate. He would not say whether the al-Qaeda associate was in U.S. custody. Other sources said he is not. So there you go. Liar, liar. Again, your pants are on fire. Isn't that something? The way they go right there on nationwide, on worldwide TV, and just lie and lie to the freaking public. And you want to know why they do it? Just like what Clinton said about why he was doing this stuff with Monica? Because they can.
Live and local. We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Neil got out. WQAM. Where the faggot is.
Oh!
Video, see my lashes double D. And then on newlyweds, I show how dumb a blonde can be. Growing and I'm showing why I keep these boobs tucked inside. Even though guys want them, just Nick Lachey gets to say, my love saw my breath today. My love saw my breath.
Till noon at 560 WQM. Now, is the Mad Dog on today? On, off, in, out. Yesterday we had Curtis on there. You don't know what his schedule. It's the only station I've ever worked there where they give you a schedule in pencil with a big eraser.
Right. Chalkboard.
I think the Mad Dog on today. Is that correct?
All right.
We don't know.
Humper in the studio, 4 o'clock, 6:30, Marlins on deck. The Braves at the Marlins, 7:05. Don't forget, you get you some free tickets for that game tonight if you stop by and see the lovely Miguel, who's not getting any more of those.
Oh, no, they're gone. Forget about it.
They're all gone?
Yeah.
Boy, that sure didn't take long, did it?
No, it didn't.
Wow. Now, ordinarily, when you go out on those appearances, as you well know, you sit there and stare at the ceiling, eat those sandwiches from wherever that place is, and that's about it. Now, I don't mind plugging Atlantic City Subs now that Ira's going, but they really are some of the biggest freeloaders I've ever seen in my life. And you know whose fault that was? That was Defoe.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a scammeister. It wasn't just that thing with the Indians. Defoe was one of the biggest slime balls. That, I mean, not that I don't like him, although he don't like me very much. He stabbed me several times. But he was very shady. You know what I mean? Slippery, shady, schlocky, kind of a radio guy. And as a result, he had more different deals going with different people. And, of course, that whole thing where we like the weekend of QAM is just a horror thing. If there's anybody out there who's against prostitution, you better start investigating the weekends of QAM because we just basically whore all the time out. Mad Dog has got all those hours that he owns, or I don't know how that deal works, you know? And then there's that thing where Zagacki is on there. Oh, I actually turned on the station yesterday just at the wrong time. It was about 10 to 7 last night. I'm in here sending some bedtime stories to Eric and Josh. And lo and behold, the Humpers show is just about to end, and somebody says to him, I guess there were no calls, you want to talk to Joe? Oh, I'd love to talk to Joe, meaning Joe Zagacki.
Joe Zagacki sucks, okay?
Wow. I mean, Joe Zagacki makes Dave Van Boring sound like Harry Carey. I know that's saying a lot. You know what I mean? What I mean by that?
I don't.
That's
Josh
how cold.
Josh is funny. Yeah, laughing though.
Yeah, no, it's true because that's how animated Dave Van Boring is compared to Zagacki. And Dave Van Boring is like a dead man. He's like John Kerry on Doggy Downers. Here's a fax that says, "Where was our homeland security when a commercial airliner suddenly veers off course and lands at an Air Force base?" That was over the weekend. You see that story on the website?
Nope.
No, that was a Northwest. It was a commercial flight, a Northwest flight, and a pilot landed at an Air Force base, which was about 8 miles from where the Wright Airport was in South Dakota or somewhere up there, some in Yenemsville. It says it could have been any type of terrorism from a bomb on board. Who knows? All I know is our protection blows. Is what it says here. Thank you, Michael. Michael in Boca, who of course is no relation to our good close personal friend, who now moved way up on the Richter scale. You know who I'm talking about?
Howard from Boca.
Yeah. He's moving on up. I know that it's almost impossible, but Geldy's making Mo look pretty good by comparison. And I will say this. Mo, at least, he's got a great radio voice, right?
Right. No argument.
He's a real broadcaster. I'm not necessarily saying a talk show host, but he's a real broadcaster, play-by-play guy. He's been around the block several times, canned everywhere, but nonetheless, he's a real broadcaster. And so he brings something to the table as opposed to Geldy, who just brings a sharp knife and a squeaky voice to the table is all he brings. Supreme Court allowed... I don't know what it is. So I can schmidtcan this, right? Michaela's gone. The tickets are all gone.
Right.
So like I said, we got the game tonight, 7:05. Braves at the Marlins. Marlins better start winning a game or two. They slipped out of first place. They're a percentage point behind. It's close. It's neck and neck, nose to nose. I understand that somebody might win $1 million at the game tonight. I just made that up, but I figure if somebody figures there's something really good or free, what?
None.
Well, let's just make some stuff up, you know. It's like if you listen to this show every day for the next 2.5 years, you might win $1 million. I mean, I'm sure you won't because we're not giving it away,
well,
but
you might not.
Maybe you'll win the lottery. Oh, and speaking of winning the lottery, I'm trying to think of who the people were from up here, no less, who won the Florida lottery.
Really, up there?
Yes. People from here. People from either Woodbine or one of the tracks here I was just reading about in the Toronto Sun yesterday, which don't read that paper, just the sports section. It's a right-wing rag. The Supreme Court yesterday allowed a lawsuit to proceed that accuses the Archdiocese of Milwaukee of transferring a child molester from Wisconsin to work as a Roman Catholic priest in California. Well, that should be far enough away, shouldn't it? The judges declined without comment to block a lawsuit involving allegations that the priest Siegfried Weirdo molested an 8-year-old California boy after his move. Wadira committed suicide in 2003,
all right,
a year after Eric Paino sued him in the Milwaukee Archdiocese over the alleged 1985 sexual assault. Before his death, Wadira fled the country to avoid trial on dozens of counts of child molestation in Wisconsin and California. He had been convicted of perversion with a boy in Wisconsin in the 70s before they shifted his ass out there to California. I said shifted. Matthew Flynn, the attorney for the Milwaukee Archdiocese, said that California courts should not handle cases involving out-of-state religious institutions. And I want to say to you right now, most priests and nuns belong in institutions. I'm not talking about religious institutions. I'm talking about a mental institution. And you know who really belongs in mental institutions? Our parents who turn their children over to these people for fun and amusement and pleasure.
They belong in jail.
You got these frustrated bull-dyke nuns who spend almost their entire careers abusing and beating up the girls and smashing them and doing whatever. And then, of course, all these pedophile priests who are busy trying to alter boys. And that's a religion? That's some kind of a thing to turn your children over to brainwash the most evil, the most vile, the most vulgar, tax-exempt institution on the face of the globe, and you're turning your little kids over to that? Shame on you! I think a lot of these parents ought to be in jail myself. I think if the priest already committed suicide or is dead, I think some of the parents who allowed this crap to go on, they ought to be in jail. Parental malpractice, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
There you go. That's 2 out of 2. What does Josh think?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. There you go. 3 for 3, which is not as good as a walk-off home run, but it's still batting 1,000.
He's another one, raised Catholic, so he can.
Oh, how sad. Well, that's that Spick thing.
Spick thing.
Yeah, you told me that his name was
Portis.
Yeah,
he's all mixed up.
Yeah, he's got a little of this. I heard he's got a little something in him. That's what I've heard. That's what Clarence told me.
It was so little.
And that's not what Duff said. What's your take on Bill Clinton? That's our poll question today. We don't want to refer to the poll result too often because then those people have got you all whipped up into a thing about the poll. You know, no matter what you do, I don't have to tell you this, no matter what it is. Oh, no, you know, it's just like the so-called sports fans. Or so, you know. I mean, the Marlins could win every game from now to the end of the season. We didn't get any more freebies. We didn't get any bobblehead dolls. Always crying. Always crying. Just like the thing with the Heat. Nobody expected the Heat to go anywhere. They were off to a horrendous start. Pat Riley went into hiding somewhere. And all of a sudden they wind up in the playoffs and gave, who the hell was it, Indiana, a good run for their money? Wasn't it Indiana?
Yeah.
I don't even pay any attention to that crap. I don't care about Schvo Ball. But, you turn into the station, you think they would have lost every, gotten blown out every game in the playoffs or wouldn't have made it in the first place. There's no way to please the people in South Florida. They live to be miserable. Am I right?
Absolutely.
That's why Mo is there. To make sure that all of us are. He's doing a good job, by the way. Nice job, Mo. I hope he makes Geldy's life so as bad as he's made it before. I hope he just makes it miserable. I hope he just terrorizes that schmuck. And I really mean that. See, now he can focus all his attention on one person. Now that he's been with George and me and the Beast and Joe Rose and Hank, now he can focus right in on the real chigger in the woodpile. That's the one right there. Squeaky. What's your take on Bill Clinton? That's our poll question today. 481 votes. Boy, we sure got more response today on this than we did in the first 2 hours yesterday, haven't we?
Maybe,
that's because that was perceived as a fag question. And by the way, speaking of the fag stuff, I've got four words. I wrote it down. People that are worried about who other people are sleeping with, as long as they're adults, as long as it's consensual, I have four words for you. What's it to you? Yeah. Write it on your, just like in Memento, which was on again the other day and I couldn't turn it off. Just like Memento, write it. How's Teddy doing? Write it on your wrist. Write it on your cheek.
Rectum.
That's it. What's it to you?
Yeah.
How is it going to change your life? How is it going to change anything about anything? Is it?
No.
So what's it to you?
Sin against nature.
Yeah, right. Well, don't forget, God invented the Cain and Mabel. What's your take on Bill Clinton? He was much better than W, 225, 45%+. He's the greatest, 160. We like him a lot. We love you, Bubba, but just go away already. That's another 32, so that's 77.2%. He was an embarrassment, 59, 11.8%, who I guess are prudes, who think that none of the presidents have been screwing around. Wait till they hear about that W abortion in Texas. I'm sorry. His ego is out of control, 25. He has a nifty penis, 13. He's trying to upstage Kerry, 8, and he was weak, 8, like Al Martino's voice. Two more votes for 500. Boy, this is like more, you know what I'm saying? Like you feel like it's almost worth turning the transmitter on.
Nah,
cool, almost.
Crazy.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAM.
Hey, that's a good looking guy.
And another thing. You could listen to me, would have been a big star by now. With that little thick, squeak voice. How do you expect to get anywhere, you little puny puke? Can we say puke?
I
don't even know anymore.
The more I hear you.
Yeah, what about it?
The more I hate you.
Hey, what do I care?
And when I hear you, I wanna die. Your peccary, no toenail cheese aroma. Put me in a coma and point my eye.
Why, you, I ought to smack you. There, you see? I know my smell attracts you. But unlike Zach, you still got a job. I feel just like that you are my kid brother. And one yiddy to another. That's why you're still not fired. Our morning show can put you in a coma. Can't wait till it's over. All right, that's enough.
14 till noon at 560 WQM. All those Marlin Braves tickets are gone. Boy, that didn't take long at all. How many did we have?
About 30, man.
Probably not that many. In fact, probably he was giving mine away, too. Hey, Miguel, nice job, but not next season, man. That, he just raped those books of tickets. He raped them. Here's a fax that says, from somebody who's a little bit agitated and justifiably so, I was just online for the wonderful QM auction. Sucker! I wanted to sign up just to see what kind of schmidt they have for sale, and F, it says, that you have to give these holes a credit. A lot of words in here. A credit card number which has to first be approved. What an effing scam, it says. Screw QAM. Why are all the hosts, including Mo, plugging this schmidt? Because they're a bunch of whores. Because they have no credibility. Also, Neil, why is Gildy on with Bo and Mo on with the big...
Oh!
And, well, it's a long story. Because Joe, let's see, Joe instead of Bo and Mo. How does that go? And the big...
Oh!
It's all screwed up. It's because Greg Reed is a goofball. He's an imbecile, man. He's got things going. Every time things look like they're really going great, even the Mo man must have had a decent number in his last train in the morning. All the day parts are doing just fine. But no, he just can't get his act together. I'm tired of, an emotional cripple is what we got running the radio station, and I'm trying to, holding stuff back. Get with it. Get Joe Rose signed up. He's doing just fine. Get Gildy off his back. There's a Chinaman's chance he's going to let him get on that show. That's the only way he's going to be on there is if Joe has walked out for a week, which he did. Get it done. Get it done. Get it done, Greg. Get it done. Get something done for once in your life, and then go off and, have a great life. Leave us alone. Speaking of liars, like Greg... Secretary of State Colin Powell is announcing today a sharp increase last year in victims of terrorism worldwide, correcting findings that were used, another lie, to bolster President Bush's claim of success in countering this scourge of violence. A revised State Department report is being released today showing a dramatic increase in both the number of deaths and other casualties, as well as a less dramatic boost in incidents, a senior department official said. The initial report was issued in April. On June 10th, the State Department acknowledged the findings were inaccurate, as in wrong. Powell attributed the errors partly to a new data system and said there was no attempt to manipulate the figures to buttress Bush's argument. Right. When the report was issued, senior administration officials claimed that it showed Bush's counterterrorism campaign was a great success. But guess what? Not so fast. People are dying like flies.
I'm dying over here.
Right. Just open up the window. You hear the sound of
I'm dying over here.
Somebody screaming like that poor South Korean guy. They're like, oh, please don't kill him. And how come we don't know what happened with him?
We will.
When they chopped off Paul Johnson's head, we knew about it immediately. We had all the pictures right on everybody's website. And I let me just tell you this right up front. We'll put a lot of wild stuff on our website. We are putting no shrunken heads on our website.
No.
No.
Unless it's of somebody that we really don't like.
Like Screw Ann Winnick, we'd put that on there. Or OJ, we'd put his head on there in a heartbeat. Oh, man. Wouldn't that be great? Well, now that Miguel finished that appearance real early, he could probably go and get a machete real cheap at the Army surplus store and go find OJ down Kendall, probably on the golf course.
I got a couple of machetes already.
Yeah, that's why even the animal rights activist, Tate O.J., spends too much time on the links. Greg Palast, who's one of my very favorites, writes, we actually got all the spots in. We're like up to date now, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
We are. Well, I'm telling you, we are so good on this show. It's just amazing. The sleight of hand, the trickery that we can pretend to be doing like a real radio show here. And again, all we care about is the spots. You know, we hope you're having a good time. You know, Price is Right. But we just want to get those spots in there. Get that paycheck. Get the big bucks like Josh and George are getting.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Clarence, Friday's payday. No excuses this time. It'd be nice just once this summer to get a paycheck on time. Not that I'm complaining. The amounts look pretty good. But let's get one in there on time would be excellent. In fact, slap that bitch, whatever her name is. Isn't it amazing how many different people we've had working in accounting since we've been on this station?
About 30, man.
Boy. Including poor Miriam. And I don't apologize for what I said that time that I got all that flack about from those goofball professional little spics there at Power 96. I was saying something nice about her, but she was a sweetheart. I said probably what hastened her demise was the fact she had to lie for Greg all those years and fend off all the creditors. Now, what was wrong with that?
Nothing. That's just not the story they got.
Oh, I see. They got a twisted story because they didn't actually hear it themselves, so they got all bent out of shape. And your close friend Joe Costello was saying, oh, I think there's going to be a brawl in here. Yeah. You know, Joe, you're a good guy, but you're so over-emotional, which is probably why you're not on the air, plus the fact you're a pervert. So what's the deal with that? When is Joe Rose coming? I mean, Joe Costello coming back?
In fact,
listen, we could have had, instead of Gildy on there, we could have had Bo and Joe Costello. We could add Mo and the big, and then we could add Bo and Joe.
Huh?
What do you say?
Okay.
No.
Oh. Greg Palast, I'll save this for next hour. Let's take some of these really good calls. They've been excellent. There's no question about it. A lot of people on their way to buy the Clinton memoirs. 975 pages of stuff. Yeah. I, you know, again, people are the victims of hype. I went out and bought the Hillary book, and I read a few of these pages on the air, which I apologize for, and it's been sitting here in the same spot. The only thing I do with this book is I put, like, different things in there that I need to find, you know, like print stuff out on the Internet. And things I need to save, I put them in that book because I know I'm never going to open the book again. So what do I need another 1,000-page book sitting over there to my right? I don't have room for it, number one. And number two, why should I spend about $50 Canadian to go out there and buy it?
Because it'll match the Hillary book. Are they the same
Well,
size?
I could put that $50 in a machine at the Woodbine at the slots out there and have a much better time with it and a better chance of doing something productive. Or maybe just play the 649 lotto. $10 million jackpot tomorrow, baby.
Oh!
All right. If I do win the lotto here, one good thing about it, even though it's in Canadian funds, which is only 73 cents on the dollar American, but the good part of it is they don't take any taxes and they give it to you in one big lump.
In a wad?
In a big wad. Big wad of cash. So if you win $10 million, here's a check for $10 million Canadian, eh? I'll take it. And then George will be on for the rest of the summer and the fall and the winter. And next spring, next year, Lewis. See, I don't understand how, I mean, first they got to get the Joe Rose thing taken care of. You would think now with only 2.5 years left on this deal that they'd be hastening to put something together where you'd be on most of the Neil Rogers show with George Rodriguez. See what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'd be on like maybe, oh, I don't know, 10 times a year, something like that. You do the show every day, and then they can use my name and pretend that it's the Neil Rogers show, and everything would be just fine.
I'll just change my name.
Oh, we're fine.
No, seriously, that would be great. If they had any brains at all, I'd make a couple of cameo appearances here and there. Duff ought to be working on that right now to save his sorry ass, because he knows that the minute I'm out the door, it's bye-bye. Bye-bye, sweetheart. WQAM, hello. Not there. QAM, hello. Not there. Two in a row. Let's go for three. For a three for three for a 1,000, baby. Let's do a walk-off call here. WQAM, hello.
Hi. Calling
yes, sir.
Out of town.
Where is that?
Charlotte.
Charlotte, North Carolina?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll be danged. How you doing?
All righty. Just want to talk to Neil.
You're speaking to him.
I'm speaking to Neil?
It sounds like me, yeah.
Oh, it is, but I must be, I'm on the internet, Neil, so I'm sorry. You're still
That's
talking.
That's okay. Don't be sorry. People that are sitting right there are right in the middle of Miami, right in Dadeland, probably haven't got any idea what's going on.
Well, I left Miami about a year ago, left it in my rearview mirror.
Congratulations.
And haven't looked back since.
That's got to be the best day of your life, getting out of South Florida, man.
Oh, it was great. It's great up here. It's different. Different. Somebody asked me why I didn't like it up here or why I didn't like Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, little things like the politics and stuff like that. And I said, you remember that Elion case? And he said, who?
Incredible.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway,
people in most of the rest of mankind, they're like civilized and they're polite and they're like reasonable and friendly, as opposed to South Florida where they hate you like poison and they don't even know you yet. Then
exactly.
Once they know you, then it really gets bad.
But I wanted to ask, I've been calling on the out-of-town line, and nobody's picking it up.
Well, we do screenless now because we don't want to have Josh have a nervous breakdown at his young age and have to screen a call. So I just pick him up as, you know, here and there. That line 9, there's usually only two morons that call on there anyway, with all due apologies. So.
Okay, Mr.
But at least you didn't have to be on hold and spend a lot of money, see?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
And thanks for making it, and have a great life, pal.
All righty. Bye.
See ya. There's a guy that cut out. He sounds happy.
Oh!
He sounds ecstatic.
Right. Oh!
And he's in Charlotte with good radio. Good job.
WBT, Charlotte. I don't know what they do now because in South Florida you can't hear anything.
Right.
But when you're up north, like I've been through this a million times before, back in the day when radio was great, WBT, Charlotte, speaking of sports, man, they used to have all the basketball games, you know, North Carolina and NC State. And it was just a great radio station, 50,000 watts, 11-something or other on the dial. I really don't know and quite frankly don't care. But it was, see, back also in the day, when I was a kid growing up and was fascinated with radio and with sports and with all these things, I used to be able to go right on from the end of the dial and all the way to from the left to the right on the AM dial before FM even was heard of and tell you every major 50,000-watt clear channel station. You're like, 760 was WJR in Detroit. 740 used to be CBL in Toronto, as a matter of fact, eh? Hockey Night in Canada. Aren't you impressed? 750 WSB in Atlanta, 760
wow.
WJR in Detroit, 770 WABC New York, 780 was WMBM Chicago. I don't know what 790 was. 790, of course, was WNWS, but nobody could hear that. 800 was CKLW in Windsor, Detroit, and on it went. Aren't you excited?
Wow, that's something.
1180 was WHM in Rochester, 1190 was WOWO in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm sure as a kid, George used to listen to those hockey games, the Fort Wayne Comets, on WOWO in Fort Wayne. That
never,
was a good rock and roll station, huh?
Huh?
Whoa, whoa. And then there was 1020 was KDKA, and 1030 was WBZ, 1040 was WH
oh!
in Des Moines, Iowa. Man, oh, man. KMOX in St. Louis was 11:30. Those were the days, boy. You talk about living in the past. When your radio was worth, it was like it was something you would grab onto. You used to have those little transistor radios, and you would hang out of that thing like it was made out of gold. It was like part of your body. You never wanted to let that baby go. Now your radio, just flush it down the toilet.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Look, it's the 12 to 1 hour, yeah, at least for today.
On the next American Idol, Attorney General John Ashcroft sings.
Let the eagle soar like you've never soared before. From Rocky and Bullwinkle to Gary Moore. Mighty eagle must soar. I need more words that rhyme with soar. I remember shopping at the eagle store. I was out of chlorine for the pool, and I needed more. Lord God pushes our I'm troubled and surprised by your computers that I spy. It seems that you like sex, but I don't like women's breasts. I'd like to cut them off their chest. It's simple to have sex, and that's why I cut a hole in my sheet. And I pour hot wax down my pants. But I think it's a crime to dance. So let the eagle soar. And if you disagree, in the camp you will be like you never soared before.
We have so many emotional cripples at this radio station. It's unbelievable. Here's a fax just hot off the machine. I just reached back and yanked it. Tell me where to drop off the tickets. I'll give them back. Signed, Miguel. Oh, man. Oh, man. He must think I'm like an engine giver.
Engine killer.
Yeah, or something like that. Oh, yeah, I don't want them back. It's just that you went a little heavy duty. That's all. And next time, maybe I'll peruse through there first. God almighty.
Through what?
He really is. He's got that hot Spanish temper. You know, he comes across as being very low-key, but if you look at him cross-eyed, man, that's what Duff told me. He said once he patted him on the ass, and he just turned. Here's a fact that says they called it Last Licks until everyone thought Mike Piazza was a queer. Then they change it to Walk Off. Last Licks. I see. Following this?
Yeah, all right.
As a matter of fact, I saw a walk-off fielder's choice last night. Yeah, how about if the game ends on an error? Is that a walk-off error?
No.
No? Well, why not? If the bases are loaded, two out, guy hits a ground ball to short, and the shortstop bobbles it, the winning run scores, isn't that a walk-off error?
I don't think so.
Well, why not? And what about if the bases are loaded, two out, in the bottom of the 10th, and the guy walks in the winning run, is that a walk-off walk?
No.
Well, why not? I don't care what you say because you're just brainwashed, man. It's a miracle the Catholics didn't get to you, but at least ESPN has now. Somebody got to you. Thank God it wasn't Duff. Greg Palast writes, and I still say the guy that faxed in yesterday with that go homer, I think that's a great cliche. That one would stick. It makes sense. A go homer. I can just hear Dave Van Boring saying, it's up, up and away. A go homer.
Or a mo homer.
Yeah. Time to go home, Homer.
Blaming.
Greg Palast says, the sour smell of spoiled ballots. You know, Greg, who's one of our favorite columnists. We actually have a link to his website, as a matter of fact, gregpalast.com. He says, in the 2000 presidential election, 1.9 million Americans cast ballots that nobody counted. Spoiled votes is the technical term. A pile of ballots left to rot has a distinctly dark hue. About 1 million of them, half of the rejected ballots, were cast by African Americans, although black voters make up only 12% of the electorate. This year it could get worse. All you dark folks out there, you better vote 4, 5, 6 times just to make sure you might get counted once, maybe. These ugly racial statistics are hidden away in the mathematical thickets of the appendices to official reports coming out of the investigation of ballot box monkey business in Florida from the last go-round. How do you spoil 2 million ballots? Not by leaving them out of the fridge too long. A stray mark, a jammed machine, a punch card punched twice will do it. It's easy to lose your vote, especially when some politicians want your vote to be lost. While investigating the 2000 ballot count in Florida for BBC television, I saw firsthand how the spoilage game was played, with black voters the predetermined losers. Florida's Gadsden County has the highest percentage of black voters in the state and the highest spoilage rate. 1 in 8 votes cast there in 2000 was never counted. Many voters wrote in Al Gore. Optical reading machines rejected these because Al is a stray mark. By contrast, in neighboring Tallahassee, the capital, vote spoilage was nearly zip. Every vote counted. The difference? In Tallahassee's white-majority county, voters placed their ballots directly onto optical scanners. If they added a stray mark, they received another ballot with instructions to correct it. In other words, in the white county, make a mistake in another ballot. In the black county, make a mistake, and your ballot is tossed. The U.S. Civil Rights Commission looked into the smelly pile of spoiled ballots and concluded that of the 179,855 ballots invalidated by Florida officials, 53% were cast by black voters. In Florida, a black citizen was 10 times as likely to have a vote rejected as a white voter. But let's not get smug about Florida's Jim Crow spoilage rate. Civil Rights Commissioner Christopher Edley, recently appointed dean of Bolt Hall School of Law at UC Berkeley, took the Florida study nationwide. His team discovered the uncomfortable fact that Florida is typical of the nation. Philip Klinker, the statistician working on the L. Edley investigation, concluded it appears that about half of all ballots spoiled in the USA, about 1 million votes, were cast by non-white voters. How do you like that?
Oh, my gosh.
The no count, as the Civil Rights Commission calls it, is no accident. In Florida, for example, I discovered that technicians had warned Governor Jeb Bush's office well in advance in November 2000 of the racial bend in the vote count procedures. Herein lies the problem. An apartheid vote counting system is far from politically neutral, given that more than 90% of the black electorate votes Democratic. Had all the spoiled votes been tallied, Gore would have taken Florida in a walk. It would have been a walk-off walk. Not to mention fattening his popular vote total nationwide. It's not surprising that the First Brothers team, informed of impending rejection of black ballots, looked away and whistled. The ballot box blackout is not the monopoly of one party. Cook County, Illinois, is one of the nation's worst spoilage rates. That's not surprising. Boss Daley's Democratic machine, now his son, survives by systematic disenfranchisement of Chicago's black vote. How can we fix it? First, let's shed the convenient excuses for vote spoilage, such as a lack of voter education. One television network stated as fact that Florida's black voters, newly registered and lacking education, had difficulty with their ballots. In other words, blacks are too dumb to vote. This convenient racist excuse is dead wrong. After that disaster in Gadsden, Florida, public outcry forced the government to change that black county's procedures to match that of white counties, the result near zero spoilage in the 2002 election. Ballot design, machines, and procedures, say statistician Klinker, control spoilage. In other words, the vote counters, not the voters, are to blame. Politicians who choose the type of ballot and the method of counting have long fine-tuned the spoilage rate to their liking. It's about to get worse. The ill-named Help America Vote Act, signed by President Bush in 2002, is pushing computerization of the ballot box. California decertified some of Diebold Corp's digital ballot boxes in response to fears that hackers could pick our next president. But the known danger of black box voting is that computers, even with their software secure, are vulnerable to low-tech spoilage games, polls opening late, locked in votes, votes lost in the ether. And once again, the history of computer voting glitches has a decidedly racial bias. Florida's Broward County grandly shifted to touchscreen voting in 2002. In white precincts, all seemed to go well. In black precincts, hundreds of African Americans showed up at polls with machines down and votes that simply disappeared. Going digital won't fix the problem. Canada and Sweden vote on paper ballots with little spoilage and without suspicious counts. In America, a simple fix based on paper balloting is resisted because, unfortunately, too many politicians who understand the racial bias in the vote spoilage game are its beneficiaries with little incentive to find those missing 1 million black voters' ballots. I'm going to tell you, if that doesn't frost your ass, if that doesn't piss you off, nothing will unless maybe lunch gets spoiled. Is that incredible or what?
No, it's very credible.
And you're talking about the land of the free and a home of the brave and all of this other bullcrap, all of this propaganda. All propaganda all the time, man. And you wonder why the rest of the world looks at us with a jaundiced eye? I'm telling you right now, as you travel around, they look at America with a jaundiced eye. Right. And with good reason. The best elections that crooks can steal. That's why Jeb called his brother there, W, 3 o'clock in the morning, and said, don't worry, you won. And people are wondering, well, how come they're reporting on television that Bush won, no Gore won, no nobody knows?
Don't pay that.
Don't worry. The fix is in. That it wasn't don't worry, you won. The message was the fix is in, bro. It's all yours, Prez. What a pathetic, sorry, sad-ass excuse for voting that is. But, nevertheless, and then, of course, the Supremes, even Diana Ross, she was too drunk to know the difference. They said, oh, yeah, let's stop the count. Okay? I'm going to play that today.
All right.
Is there anything vulgar in here?
You never know.
If there is, we'll get to it. I can't imagine. Okay? He might say, cool, a couple of times. That's all right. What's your take on Bill Clinton now that book is out? It's in the stores. Go out and buy it, okay? Bill needs the money badly. He was much better than W. 272 people said that. 46.2%. That's out of 588. He's the greatest. 187. We love Bubba. We'd like to kiss him right on. Well, not really. 187. 32%. He was an embarrassment. 66. Mario Lemieux's not too happy about that. 66. 11.2%. His ego is out of control. Look at that. About
30, man.
He has a nifty penis, 16. I'll take your word for it. He's trying to upstage Kerry, 9, and he was weak, only 8, out of almost 600 votes. There's Wes Clark.
Treatment. You remember they were on television, how angry people were.
There's your
were
next vice president right there.
Treated.
He's no Dick Cheney, thank God.
Normally when people get captured, they do get roughed up a bit because there's a lot of tension. People are afraid on both sides. But we've never condoned that treatment. I know it's happened. It's been wrong, and it's wrong today.
There you go. Wesley Clark, your next vice president of the United States of America.
Oh!
You think?
He'll do.
He'll do just fine. 12 minutes past noon. Plus, he's got a nice head of hair, even nicer than Wolf Blitzkrieg, who's getting that receding hairline, which is good. Anything bad that happens to Wolf Blitzkrieg, I applaud that heartily, okay? Oh, another bunch of hair. Another clump just fell out.
Yeah.
I think I'm playing this one instead.
Okay.
But there might be something Sub Rosa in it. We'll see.
Oh, I'd like to know who won the election. Said I'd like to know who won the election. Count the vote, count the vote, baby. Count the vote, count the vote over. Count the vote, baby. Count the vote over. Count the vote. Ever since this presidential race began, I've often wondered who was going to win. Some Palm Beach people went to do their voting chore. So count up all the ballots and find out who's gotten more. Those old folks seem to have one thing in common. Looks like lots of them just gave their votes to Patrick Buchanan.
Oi!
Oh my God.
So I'd like to know who won the election. Yes, I'd like to know who won the election. Count the vote. Count the vote, baby. Count the vote. Count the vote over. Count the vote. Count the vote, baby. Count the vote. Count the vote over. Count the vote. The final tabulation started coming in.
Abu Ghraib.
Then I saw a news flash on Channel 10. Some angry people all together in a bunch. They said they were confused and didn't know which hole to punch. Those old folks seem to have one thing in common. Looks like lots of them just gave their votes to Patrick Buchanan.
Doi, 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 doi.
So I'd like to know who won the election. Said I'd like to know who won the election. Oh, I'd like to know who won the election. Yes, I'd like to know who won the election. Count the vote, baby.
No.
Count the vote, over.
No.
Count the vote,
no.
Count the vote, baby. Count the vote, over. Count the vote, how many for Bush? Count the vote, how many for Gore? Count the vote, how many for Bush? Count the vote, are there any more? Count the vote, they messed up the ballot. Count the vote.
Good old KJ, he's not a potty mouth like that little Book of Brian. You know, we don't have to bleep out anything in his bits. Isn't that great?
Yeah, still, he said that bit that you wanted to play was clean.
What's that?
The one you were going to play before that you...
Oh, Stop the Count?
Yeah.
Well, I hate to break the news as much as I love Boca Bryan, but I like that one better.
Stop the count in Florida. This court is partisan. Stop the count in Florida. Make sure that Georgie won. Count is all over. This race is all over. George O'Connor is aware that Georgie's top won for student prime today. Scalia, he's a Donald Guinea Wop. Clarence Thomas is an Uncle Tom. Don't bother them about democracy now. They want George to be found.
Don't count them all.
Most blatantly corrupt and fixed presidential election since 1960, when a whole bunch of people in Chicago, a bunch of dead people voted in Illinois, thanks to Dick Daley. And Kennedy won the election based on, guess what state?
Florida?
Illinois. So there we go. The vote in Florida was totally bogus, and the votes all across the country, as Greg Palast pointed out, millions, probably more votes that DeGore could have had, or at least hundreds of thousands, a very comfortable margin, won hands down your pants. And in the meantime, right in broad daylight, they stole it. All those goofballs they sent down from all over the place, from outside of the state, all these interlopers pounding on those doors, let us in, let us in. And, of course, if Alex Pinellas, Alice Penis of Pequena, would have had any balls, he'd have made sure he was there with, like, armed state troopers and armed the National Guard, whoever needed to be there to keep the interlopers out of there so we could have a fair election. And didn't he do a fine job for Al Gore? Right. You're done, Alex. You're toast, man. Maybe you can be on the Paul and Old Ron show, because now you're toast. You're pathetic. You're out of the closet. You've been exposed as the phony baloney that you are, the turncoat, the panderer, the philanderer, idiot. And by the way, how's all his friends at the airport doing? 5670560. This is already Tuesday. Now, you do understand that we're only 3 days away from the big day. You understand that?
You can make people do anything if they're afraid.
The FAA is taking the action to close all of the airports in the United States.
All commercial and airline traffic was grounded.
But we had some airplanes authorized at the highest levels of our government to pick up Osama bin Laden's family members and transport them out of this country.
In the middle of the war, corporations decided to hold a conference to figure out how much money could be made.
Once that oil starts flowing, it's going to be lots of money. Whatever it costs, the government will pay you.
It's going to be good for business, bad for the people.
Congressman, trying to get members of Congress to get their kids to enlist in the Army and go over to Iraq.
The USA Patriot Act allows for searches of medical and financial records.
It gives law enforcement almost unlimited power.
They wait till the middle of the night. It's printed in the middle of the night.
How could Congress pass this Patriot Act without even reading it?
Sit down, my son.
We don't read most of the bills.
No one read it.
Members of Congress, this is Michael Moore. I would like to read you the USA Patriot Act.
Let the eagle soar.
From the corridors of power.
Congressman?
Congressman? To the streets of small town America. To the front lines.
This is an impressive crowd, the haves and the have-mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Comes the true story that will make your temperature rise.
I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers. Thank you. Now watch this drive.
This Friday at a theater near you, Fahrenheit 9/11, and Ray Bradbury, you're right, can kiss everybody's ass, including Michael Moore's fat ass.
Rectum.
Yeah, Ray, you're an idiot. You never wrote anything worthwhile in the first place. As if, you know, made the comment the other day about, like, Michael, Donald Trump wants to, he wants to copyright the word, the expression, you're fired. As if he invented it. As if, Ray Bradbury invented the word Fahrenheit. Stick it up your can, okay, Ray?
And Shakespeare's gonna sue him for that something wicked line.
Exactly. He invented the word Fahrenheit. My ass. At any rate, so the movie comes out Friday. No, seriously, rather than going out and spending $35 to buy the Clinton memoirs, which some of you will anyway, but much easier than wasting your eyesight on 975 pages of stuff, just go see the movie for a couple of hours. For like, what, $6-$7?
All right.
As a matter of fact, I want on Friday, don't forget, I want to make sure that you get the, because I don't think I can get it here online, and it's much easier anyway. Get the Sun Sentinel and or the Herald, and we'll give the locations of all the places where the movie is playing. It'll be here. It'll be in Toronto. It'll be all over North America starting this Friday. And then whatever theaters it doesn't open at Friday, it'll be the following Friday, July 2nd, whatever a market. You're going to go see it, right?
Yeah, several times.
As a matter of fact, Josh is going to go see part of it, but then he's probably got a ball game to do with Dave, so he's going to do a walk-off appearance at the movie. Yeah.
A walk-off disappearance.
Right, just kind of like Renee Lachman. He did a walk-off Renee appearance. Maybe I should play that, too, since I'm playing all this good stuff. It's amazing that we're finding things that we can actually play still. Yeah, just a couple of seconds of this would be good.
Ooh, this is the old sound of Boca Bryant.
Walk off, Renee, please.
And when you're switching pictures, costs us the game. It's clear that as a manager, you are quite lame.
Absolutely.
Just walk away.
Yeah, do a walk-off. He did. Thank goodness for that. Jack McCann just turned 175. He's still got his marbles together. 1226 at 560 WQM. Emerald Coast wants you, just like Uncle Sam, only you'll have a much better time with them, believe me. This is no ordinary Asian buffet. The service is impeccable, and you'll never leave with an empty stomach. You'll walk out just holding your puppet. You'll be having a big smile on your puss. Emerald Coast offers you sensational mouth-watering dishes, 6 different delicious soups, dozens and zillions of succulent entrees, including New York strip made to order at their sizzling Asian grill, the brand new Hunan fish. Enjoy Maine lobster thermidor style, Jonah crab, oysters on a half shell. I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. They've got hand-carved prime rib cooked just the way you like it. Their brand new Thai specialties, too. They've got a full salad bar, a full Chinese food lineup, their brand new sushi bar, and of course, fresh cocktail. Scrimp. And don't forget, no headaches, no MSG, because they don't use MSG at the Emerald Coast. No cornstarch, no crap. They cook everything only with the best cholesterol-free oils. And the dessert station, incredible, featuring Belgian waffles, pies, cakes, pastries, ice cream with all your favorite toppings, even a fresh fruit. You can't beat it with a stick. Emerald Coast, 3 locations for you. They're in Sunrise, Sunny Isles, Pembroke Pines. Let them do the cooking for the whole family. Take them all right now or book your next business luncheon right away. This copy still says Father's Day, by the way. Whose account is this?
Don't know.
We don't know. See, that's another thing. How about if we put that on the copy so Neil and everybody can know who the hell it is? At any rate, nobody really cares who's... Yeah, right. Anyway, let Emerald Coast cook up a storm for you. Takeout delivery always available. They're voted number one by Zagat Restaurant Reviews and WSVN News is South Florida's best Asian buffet, and they got their thumb right on it. Believe you me, they're unbeatable. The Emerald Coast Chinese Buffet. For information or directions, call 954-572-3822. 954-572-3822.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
In Miami Town, at 560 WQAM.
Right now on Access Hollywood.
Bill, congratulations on your new book and the tour.
Thank you.
One chapter talks about how after you and Miss Lewinsky, Hillary got a scissors and what did she do to your thing?
Cut in half.
Ouch! Whoa.
What a job she has done.
How long has it been like that?
For 5 years now.
Is it totally useless?
There are things that it doesn't do that I wish it did.
Have you tried to have sex?
I have tried once, and it didn't work.
Wow. Does Viagra work?
No, it doesn't work.
Do they have the technology to make it work again?
Well, I don't have any idea, but I hope it will happen sometime in my lifetime.
12:32, we still hate Pat O'Brien on his show. 666, look at the votes on that poll. It's your 666, wow. That's what mine are. El Anticristo.
Reloading.
Incredible.
What's your take on Bill Clinton? He was much better than W, 304, 45.6%, 304. He's the greatest, 215, 32.2. That's 77.7% and 666 votes. How do you like that? And I've told you 999 million times. He was an embarrassment. 78 people said that, almost 12%. How embarrassing. His ego's out of control, 33. He has a nifty penis, 18. And I'm sure they've all seen it. He's trying to upstage Kerry, 10, and he was weak, only 8. He was polarizing, either loved him or hated him, just like the one we got now, although the one we got now, even much to a greater degree. Maybe this one is the most polarizing president in history, at least in the history of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, you got this small core of right-wing religionists, Bible thumpers, spaz holes, who just, anything he does, yes, sir, ditto heads. And then, of course, the rest of us who just hate him like poison. In fact, I'm watching Certainly Not News right now, and I see that Bibi Brain Netanyahu on there, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, I'd sure like to see his head on a plate.
Oh, yeah. Kosher,
wouldn't you like to see that? Yeah, kosher, of course. It would have to be a fleshic plate, only for the meat products. Stuart Clowens in The Nation writes, by way of deception, speaking of Fahrenheit 9/11, which comes out this Friday, June 25th, at a theater near you. He says, not the judgment of film critics, but the passage of time will decide whether Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11 can change the world. Change, of course, is the whole purpose. Whatever satisfaction Moore derives from his ever-mounting income and awards, he clearly will consider this picture a success only if it helps drive George W. Bush from office. Voters will write the real review. I can merely fill time until November with the thought that Fahrenheit 9/11 might be interesting as a movie after it's done its work as politics. As with any good polemic, and this is an excellent one, you sit in the theater thinking of how someone else would respond, some imaginary undecided in the swing state, or perhaps your Uncle Max the Republican. You don't much monitor your own reactions, but then as you leave the movie house, you might notice that the sidewalk chatter sounds oddly muffled, the traffic looks a little blurred as you begin to realize that your attention has not come outside with you. It's still in the dark, struggling with the feelings that Fahrenheit 9/11 called up and didn't resolve. Are you outraged, heartbroken, vengeful, morose, gloating, thoughtful, electrified? Moore has elicited all these emotions and then had the nerve, the filmmaker's nerve, to leave you to sort them out. I think there are two bundles of messages in Fahrenheit 9/11, one political and one emotional, and while the first is about as ambiguous as a call to take up pitchforks and torches and storm the castle, the second is too complex to unsettle those in power. It works to unsettle you. It's what makes Fahrenheit 9/11 a real movie. For clarity's sake, then, let's start with the politics. The film's bill of particulars against Bush and also against the Democratic leadership, which in Moore's view has colluded most shamefully in the misrule the world now suffers. The prologue to Fahrenheit 9/11 revisits Bush's rise to power in late 2000, paying particular attention to the hunched posture of the Democrats who let him step on their backs. Here are Dick Gebhardt and Tom Daschle counseling acceptance of the non-election. And here is Al Gore mildly officiating over the Senate session that legitimized the theft of his presidency. For the first time in Fahrenheit 9/11, but certainly not the last, Moore tells his story through borrowed but decidedly non-stock footage, which you most likely have not seen before, in this case the scene of members of the House, all of them African-American, coming forward to contest the election, while Gore calmly rules their objections inadmissible because no senator, not one, would satisfy congressional rules by signing on to them. Moore's antagonist, being Republican, won't go easy on him. Their attacks will no doubt include the charge that his film is Democratic Party propaganda. You should understand from the preceding the flimsiness of this accusation, although it's true that Moore spares us the sight of one notable Democrat, John Kerry, voting to authorize Bush to start a war on his own say-so at any time that suited him. But enough of Democratic malfeasance. Who is this sage of Crawford that he may choose for us between life and death? Moore answers in part with more footage you probably haven't seen until now, a substantial portion of videotape from the morning of September 11, 2001, when Bush and his handler staged a photo op at an elementary school in Florida. After an aide whispered to him that a second airplane had struck the World Trade Center, Bush sat in place for 7 minutes pretending to read a book titled My Pet Goat. Have you ever before had a chance to study his face on that morning? Has anything other than this movie made you feel the unendurable length of his inaction? What do you suppose he was thinking all that time as he stared into space? Moore himself asked that last question on the soundtrack as a way of opening a biographical digression about Bush, his family, and their business interests. This section of the film will particularly incense Moore's attackers, who will pronounce on him the dependable slur of conspiracy theorists, so I digress to my own. Moore alleges no conspiracies. He merely says that Bush has motives beyond those he's willing to state. To make this case, Moore begins by showing that the Bush family in general, and George W. in particular, have received lavish support over the years from the Saudi elite, including the bin Ladens, and have offered valuable help in turn. Unlike the actualities footage that Moore uses in the film, these facts are by now widely known, although it was news to me that Prince Bandar, the Saudi ambassador, had dined with Bush at the White House on September 13, 2001. Not news to us. and speculating about this dinner and about the subsequent airlifting out of the United States of more than 100 Saudis when everyone else was grounded, Moore goes only so far as to say that the overwhelmingly Saudi makeup of the 9/11 attack teams could have proved embarrassing to Bush. He would not have wanted journalists just then to begin looking into his personal ties to Saudi interest or to ask whether any useful information had emerged from the 2,000 bin Ladens who had been in the country and whom he soon spirited away without the indignity of the questioning. Nothing conspiratorial about that. The worst you can reasonably say of this section of the film is that it gives Moore the opportunity for one of his man-on-the-street pranks. He films himself and Craig Unger, author of the book House of Bush, House of Saud, in front of the Watergate complex in Washington, directly across the street from the Saudi embassy, a choice of location that ensures interruption. Sure enough, onto the scene drive carloads of Secret Service agents who just want to ask politely why a film crew is working on this spot. The agents move off readily enough when given the answer, although one of them seems abashed when Moore blandly delivers his punchline, I didn't realize the Secret Service guards foreign embassies. In fact, reasonable people may find this to be the best part of the session. So there you go. It should whet your appetite a little bit, right?
It's what?
And oh, you'll like this too. Even better, well, at least for the time being until Friday. Walmart versus 1.6 million female workers. Judge certifies sex discrimination case against number one retailer.
Oh!
I saw an ad, by the way, yesterday on TV here that I just about peed my pants. It was for Walmart spaghetti sauce.
Ooh.
And they had, yeah, that's not the name of it, but they have their own brand. And they showed that the guys on there talking about all the lengths they go to and the tomatoes. And I thought it was like, I got confused about who the spot was for. And sure enough, they showed all the different kinds of sauces on the shelves there at a Walmart. And it was Walmart. They make their own sauce. I can't imagine what they put in it. I bet Josh Beckett knows.
It's in there.
It's in there. It's in there, Josh. In fact, he probably washed his hands with it right now at Walmart. He's their kind of guy. 20 till 1 at 560 WQAM. Is your company suffering from regulations that increase labor costs? Let Oasis Outsourcing help you when it comes to the people side of your business. Payroll administration, Fortune 500 company employee benefits, human resource services, and risk management are just a few of the services that Oasis Outsourcing can cover to help your business be more profitable. Call Oasis Outsourcing today for a free evaluation at 1-866 at Oasis. It's a toll-free call, 1-866-286-2747. With more than 60,000 employees worldwide, Oasis Outsourcing understands the many facets of human resource management. Outsourcing is being recognized by firms large and small as a powerful management choice, which lets you focus on your core business while leaving the operational details to the folks at Oasis Outsourcing. So let Oasis Outsourcing make your business a lot more profitable. If you'd like a free, no-obligation evaluation, just call that toll-free number, 1-866-AT-OASIS. That's 1-866-286-2747 for Oasis Outsourcing.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Lollipop, little boy.
They say they'll keep up all their inquiries until they expose all the secrecies. Still they're not hearing what they want to hear, 'cause no one talks while under oath in there. Is it true the FBI knew about the threats? Did CIA make judgments that they now regret? Faulty anti-terrorism policies. We just need more answers from the man who's key. We need to know. We need to know. What Bush knew about 9-1-1. We need to know. We need to know. We need to know. What Bush knew about 9-1-1. We need to know.
So New York Post says Air America hit sour ratings note, but I haven't been able to print the story out yet. I'll do it during the next break. Just keep that in mind.
All right.
So they got a little bit of good news on the one hand is that they're not stone-ass broke yet, and on the other hand, we'll have to get to that story. We don't want to prejudge, do we? I mean, I wish Randy all the luck in the world, but other than that whole deal is just, it was doomed from the start. It was like Robey Young said, you're doomed. Is he still in that phone booth?
Yeah.
A federal judge today said a lawsuit can proceed against Walmart, Inc. And what may be the biggest civil rights class action suit in U.S. history as the company faces allegations that discriminated against female workers. Oh, look at the poll they're taking on CNN Money. I better check that out, too. Is Walmart too big for its own good? Is there any doubt?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. U.S. District Court Judge Martin Jenkins in San Francisco certified the class of about 1.6 million women who worked for Walmart's U.S. stores at any time since December 26, 1998, attorneys for the six lead plaintiffs said, if we have any women out there who used to work for Walmart, you might get some cash. How many women we got listening?
About 30, man.
The lawsuit filed in 2001 accuses the largest U.S. private sector employer of discriminating against women employees and retaliating against those who complained. Walmart said it would appeal the decision and said the ruling has absolutely nothing to do with the merits of the case.
Right.
Oh, Walmart stock is down $1.06. Good. Walmart stock sank 2.1% after the ruling and heavy trading on the New York Stock Exchange, where it was one of today's most active issues. Walmart has previously denied a pattern of discrimination and said that the number of men in management reflects the higher number of applications it receives from men for management positions. Lawyers for the plaintiff said 70% of Walmart's hourly employees are female, but women hold fewer than 15% of store management positions. Walmart faces dozens of lawsuits claiming violations of wage and hour laws and discrimination, but analysts think this one in particular could prove costly for Walmart. The concern is the potential impact on earnings growth, said James Luke, who manages the large company growth fund for BB&T Asset Management. Walmart may have to change the way they do business. Ultimately, it could add to their cost structure. Miserable, cheap, grave-robbing bastards that they are. Boy, do we hate Walmart or what?
Yeah.
Man,
lot.
Despise them. Speaking of gigantic, let's get to Rasputin's penis.
All right.
St. Petersburg, Russia. Yeah, I got this email from you yesterday. I've been sitting on it. It's very uncomfortable, by the way. Oh, boy.
Got a cushion.
In a more innocent age, it was said that Gregory Gregory Efimovich, I can read it, it's just at the F and the I. Gregory Efimovich Rasputin's legendary power over women was due to his piercing eyes. But a new museum of Heraclea here suggests that the mad monk's charm may instead have been concealed beneath his cassock. And you can see that, by the way, in the jar on our website, behind the beaded curtain, of course. We don't want to have no penises there like, you know, for little kids to see. Measuring 28.5 centimeters, about 11 inches.
Oh, my God.
Allowing for shrinkage caused by pickling. Well, if they pickled your penis, it would probably
right.
shrink, too.
There's a tongue twister you could make out of that.
Yeah, I bet. Rasputin's penis displayed in a tall glass bottle is, to put it delicately, a big attraction at the museum. Boy, is this a... where's this from? Oh, MSN, yeah. Director Igor Knyazkin said he bought the object from a French antiquarian for $8,000, along with several of Rasputin's handwritten letters. Or is he sure he wrote it with his hand? It was not known if he had a certificate of authenticity for such a remarkable piece. Reputed both for his mysticism and his debauchery, Rasputin was a powerful influence at the court of the Romanov Tsars. Concerned about the unusual hold over the Empress Alexandra, a group of aristocrats decided to kill him to save Russia. They lured him to an assassination in 1916. Oh, an assignation, whatever the hell that is. Fed him drug cake, shot him, and finally killed him by wrapping him in a carpet, throwing him into the frozen Neva River. Sounds like an assassination to me. The aura of sexual power and mysticism lives on. Some Russians think just by staring at the object, they can cure sexual impotence. One visitor asked Knyazkin if this is true. Without a shadow of a doubt, he replied with a smile. Maybe Bob Dole ought to go there and take a puke at it, you think? Couldn't hurt.
The Chinese might like it, too.
I don't think the Chinese are impotent based on a billion Chinese. People are always making comments to me about the Chinese and their tiny little whatever.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is they must, where there's a will, there's a way. You know what I'm saying?
Well, why do they keep eating ground up rhino horn and tiger parts?
Well, maybe they want to make 2 billion people. Yeah. Who the hell knows? Yeah. Ask them. Did Ashcroft behead an innocent man in Ohio election terror scam? This is such a great article. I'm going to have to read it, although maybe we ought to take some calls first. You think?
Why not?
I don't want to do all of this reading here, but I just have, like, stuff that I feel the Spirit of Christ compels me. Harvey Wasserman and Bob Fitrakis, co-authors of George W. Bush versus the Superpower of Peace. This is so beautiful. And, again, all of these things that are being done, the timing of them all to try to distract us and throw us off the scent. Kind of like a chasing the foxes with the hounds. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, just wanted to let the listeners know, you can go on movietickets.com and
right.
click on the Fahrenheit 9/11 link and then put in your zip code and it'll spit out all the theaters near you that are showing the movie.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah, and so I'm going to see it at Cocoa Walk, 10 o'clock on Friday night, and I'm bringing the girlfriend who voted for W in the 2000 election with me.
Well, you get either convince her with the movie or lock her up on election day, one or the other.
Well, I told the bitch if she votes for him again, she's history.
And
so.
Wouldn't maybe her head would look on a plate, too. Think about it. Have a great day, Pally. Thanks.
All right. No problem. Bye.
There you go. Friday, this Friday, June 25th, Fahrenheit 9/11. Okay, forget about wasting all that money on the Clinton book, unless, of course, you're loaded, which you spread it around then. He could use it.
Yeah,
feed
right.
that dog.
I think he's doing fine.
Is he doing just fine?
Oh, we're fine.
That's what the Clintons tell us. They're doing just fine. Hillary's still swilling all that money in from her book, and he's making all these speeches and making the big, big, serious bucks. I don't know. I'm just a little bit, I have mixed emotions about this whole thing. But at least we're seeing some Democrat out there, because we sure as hell are not seeing Kerry. Which may not be all bad when you come right down to it. He's looking really, man, maybe he's getting like a second wind, you know what I mean?
We'd make a sound in the old days.
Yeah, he's getting a second wind. You can just in your own mind imagine. I was thinking about this the other day. Not for long, for about 5 seconds. But just, I want the public to stop and think about this. Here we've got all these horrendous things going on in the world. We've got all these lunatic terrorists chopping people's heads off. We've got hundreds of Americans who are dying in a war that was based on a pack of lies. We've got thousands of people in the country that we supposedly are liberating who are dying, who'd still be alive otherwise. And what is the U.S. government worried about? If we play fart sounds on the radio. How many times have I said...
About 30, man.
That the government treats all of you people like you're a bunch of little children in a sandbox. And, of course, in some cases, they might be right, based on a lot of people we hear from. But that's generally the way they treat the public, like you're a bunch of little children. Now, speaking of John Ashcroft, while the major media screams about the latest beheading in the Middle East, John Ashcroft's destruction of a man in the Middle West, likely for political purposes, has gone unnoticed. The ghastly court appearance in Columbus, Ohio, of Nuruddin Abdi has underscored the high likelihood that the Bush administration used variations of torture to break this impoverished Somali immigrant, and his dubious indictment may well have been used to overshadow a campaign visit here by John Kerry. No Republican has ever won the White House without carrying Ohio. On Monday, June 14, the eve of Kerry's two-day visit here, Attorney General Ashcroft dramatically seized national headlines by unsealing a four-month-old, four-count indictment of Abdi, a Somali native living in Columbus. Even more dangerous than Rimmer. The American heartland was targeted for death and destruction by an Al-Qaeda cell, allegedly which included a Somali immigrant who will now face justice, Ashcroft posted. Ashcroft failed to point out that Abdi had been in custody since November 28, 2003. Federal investigators claim Abdi allegedly bragged that he wanted to blow up a mall, but according to CBSNews.com, no specific mall was targeted, no explosives were in hand, and it was unclear that the alleged terrorist had the wherewithal to do it anyway. Abdi faces up to 80 years in prison and $1 million in fines. According to U.S. immigration records, Abdi first entered the U.S. in 1995, resided in Canada, then re-entered the U.S. in August 97, eh? Official statements say the U.S. granted Abdi asylum as a refugee in January 99 after Abdi gave false information to immigration officials. His November 2003 arrest was on immigration charges. He's been held in prison under extremely dubious circumstances. He was not formally charged with terrorism. His family could not see him and heard little from him. He had no legal representation. Last week, Ashcroft charged Abdi with plotting to blow up an unnamed shopping mall in central Ohio. The super-hyped findings immediately followed embarrassing new revelations about the administration's use of torture and came just before John Kerry's campaign appearance in the capital of this crucial swing state. Kerry raised a record $2 million in his 2 days in Ohio. Ashcroft says that while in prison, Nuruddin Abdi claimed to have gone to Mecca on a pilgrimage, but instead went to Ethiopia for terrorist training. In a BBC interview, Abdi's brother, Abdiaziz, said Nuruddin has not been to Ethiopia. He hasn't been to Mecca either. Federal magistrate Mark Abel ordered Abdi transferred to a federal psychiatric facility to determine if he's mentally competent. The evidence used to determine Magistrate Abel's decision remains sealed. Here's how ABC's Peter Jennings described the public announcement of Abdi's indictment. In Washington today, the Attorney General said that Al-Qaeda has been planning to blow up a shopping mall in Ohio. John Ashcroft went before the cameras to say that a man from Somalia, currently in U.S. custody, is at the heart of this plan. Over the last 3 years, Mr. Ashcroft has made several dramatic announcements about terrorist plots in the U.S., and it's hard to verify them because the evidence is held in such secrecy. In court, Abdi looked nothing like a terrorist or his former self. His family and the larger Somali community here were horrified to see Abdi enter the courtroom smiling vacantly and failing to recognize his own brother. Apparently unconscious of his surroundings, Abdi banged his head repeatedly on the table and grinned at nothing. Many who know Abdi in the central Ohio community say the vague, sensational charges against him are absurdly out of character. No photos have emerged of abuse in prison, but Abdi's new attorney, his family, and the community who knew him find little else to conclude. Some say he apparently lost his mind while under the conditions of his incarceration. The four-count indictment returned by a federal grand jury in Columbus centers around charges that Abdi conspired with Lyman Ferris and others to blow up an unidentified shopping mall. Ferris is serving 20 years in prison for allegedly planning but taking no actual action to sabotage the Brooklyn Bridge. Ferris's family says he has had a long-standing struggle with mental difficulties. Ferris was held in prison for several months before suddenly being fingered as a high-profile terrorist. The Bush administration says Ferris visited the Brooklyn Bridge and tried to buy equipment to aid in an alleged Al-Qaeda attack. Ferris and Abdi attended the same mosque in Columbus, home to more than 30,000 Somalis. It's the second largest Somali community in the U.S. after Minneapolis. The Somali community here has met en masse about the Abdi indictment. It's been quick to point out the mistake the government made in the November 8, 2001 world headlines, touting a Bush crackdown on financial networks allegedly tied to Osama bin Laden. Among those arrested in a much-hyped Columbus raid was Somali businessman Hassan Hussein, owner of Barakat Enterprise, Inc., a financial transfer business. At the end of August 2002, the U.S. Treasury Department quietly removed Hussein and two other Somali individuals from its list of alleged supporters of terrorism and dropped all charges against them. Hussein's lawyer, Kevin O'Brien, told reporters after the charges were dropped that I wish the government would just come out and say we screwed up and apologize. For 10 months we asked them to produce proof, and not once did they produce one shred of information. Somali expert Ted Danny of the Congressional Research Service in Washington, D.C., called the government's decision to close down Barakat a major blunder based on junk intelligence. Kind of like our invasion of Iraq, same thing. At least we're consistent. The BBC reported that 60% of all Somalians use Barakat financial services to send money back home. Local attitude toward the arrest abound with skepticism. One June 19th caller to a local talk show charge asked Croft with targeting unstable Somali men to whip up fear and tension in the heartland. I think that the Somalian community are just easy fodder for Mr. Ashcroft. He said they're black. That makes it very easy. They're powerless as well. I also think that it had something to do with Kerry's Columbus appearance Tuesday. It induces fear and panic, reminding us, of course, that Bush is in control. It puts Kerry's visit on the back burner. Abdi and Ferris might ultimately prove to be terrorists, but so far they seem just hapless patsies, their minds and spirits broken in Bush, in a Bush-Ashcroft gulag more reminiscent of Stalin's Soviet Union and Sodom's
Abu Ghraib
than a nation governed by the rule of law. The real source of terror here may be that this is precisely the kind of treatment in store for countless innocent Americans or foreign-born bystanders. The badge of terrorism can always be pinned on defenseless, marginalized people broken in the horrors of a prison system, unconstrained by the Geneva Convention or the Bill of Rights. Give Bush another 4 years, and it could happen to you. So let's just not do it. What do you say?
All right.
Let's not give him another 4 years.
All right.
Sounds like a plan to me.
But if you're not Somali, what do you got to worry about?
That's true. Of course, they're black, so, you know, let them lose their vote.
The 1 to 2 hour.
103 at 560 WQM. The South Korean hostage has been beheaded.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
That'd be bad. He's been beheaded. He was pleading and screaming like, come save me, do something, I want to live, but no way, Jose. Encouraging preliminary ratings for all liberal air America in New York have collapsed along with the fledgling radio network's finances.
Oh, my God.
Says today's New York Post. An unofficial extrapolation of Arbitron data released last Friday, which Air America's hosts crowed about last month but virtually ignored yesterday, showed WLIB's ratings dropping back to their lowly levels before the net's April launch. Didn't we say that? That in the beginning there's always like this, you know, fascination and a lot of publicity and a lot of hoopla,
right.
And we'll see if it sticks. Evidently not. Not yet. Arbitron cautioned stations and advertisers not to read too much into this intermonthly data, but that didn't stop Air America star Al Franken from boasting last month that he'd beaten WABC's Rush Limbaugh among 25 to 54-year-old listeners chased by radio advertisers. Instead of ratings yesterday, Franken discussed a Wall Street Journal article that provided frightening details about alleged phantom finances, including purported promises of major backing from liberal moneybags Norman Lear and Larry David, that resulted in a near-complete shakeup of Air America's executive suite last month. According to the article, many Air America investors thought the network had raised $30 million.
About 30, man!
When, in fact, only $6 million had been raised before the network launched. We have a new influx of cash coming up, said Franken, whose contract promises more than $1 million a year, according to the Journal. I'm being paid now, he told listeners yesterday. I've been paid for weeks. Franken took issue with Fox News Channel's Bill O'Reilly for interviewing a reporter last week who said Air America investors have been throwing money down a rat hole. Fox News Channel lost $150 million its first 2 years, Franken said. That was a much bigger rat hole than our rat hole. Air America President John Sinton, who declined comment through a spokesman yesterday, told the Post in April that it would be unfair to make too many judgments too soon. It takes a long time to develop a talk radio audience, he said, echoing the sentiments of many talk radio experts. This is a long-term project. The lefty network, which hopes to counter the election year influence of high-rated conservative talk radio, is still without affiliates in Los Angeles and Chicago after noisy disputes over station lease payments. Except for New York's WLIB, its 15 affiliates are in medium to small markets, as in small potatoes. Good luck to them. They'll need it. Let's get a lot of calls in here this last hour, right?
Right. Let's do it.
Hundreds. How's Jeff High doing? Is he still alive?
Yes.
We only can hope. And those of you who wish can pray. Pray for Jeff High. Pray for his pacemaker. Pray for his gourmet chef to cook up the right things. I bet you he's eating right now. Remember when they had the prize closet at Power and he kept breaking into it? They had all those candy bars?
Yeah.
That was shortly after he first got hired at QAM. That all these boxes, cartons of candy bars And somehow either got the key or he just like busted his
rectum
into the door and knocked it down. And he just kept breaking in there and stealing all the candy bars. It's a sickness, baby. It's a sugar addiction. You're talking to an expert right now. Believe you me, it's a sugar addiction. Sugar kills. More powerful than heroin. More powerful than that white powder. More powerful than anything ever known to man. Even Superman ain't as powerful as that. This is the real white powder. Azucar, as your good friend would say, Celia Cruz. By the way, don't forget the Celia Cruz Hour starts tomorrow, 8 to 10. I think we'd have a better chance with that lead-in than Bo and Geldy and O and whatever we got now. WQAM, hello.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I got a little spy report on Joe Rosenthal there.
Yeah.
On the Saturday morning show, he said, this is Greg Reed's quote, that he go to anger management class. Did you hear anything like that?
No.
It was on it's about 10:30 on a Saturday morning he was talking about it.
Yeah.
That Greg Reed needs some for him to go to anger management class.
Well, what does that mean?
That I guess he ain't getting paid.
Well, no ticky, no washy, baby. That's why he's not on this week. And if Greg Reed don't get him straightened out, man, here's this guy. Seriously, how Greg Reed continues to maintain that job, he must have naked pictures of all of the Beasleys, you know? He must have Carolyn doing a billy goat. Got to. I'm talking about Carolyn Beasley, that is. Had to clarify that fast, didn't I?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was spaced out.
Yeah, I'll bet you were.
I was reading some porn.
Yeah. No, I mean, how can this man continue surviving? He keeps screwing up, and no matter how many times he screws up, he still comes in, he falls into a bucket of stuff, you know, every time.
I think it's that horseshoe you keep talking
and,
about.
And then, no matter how many times he does that, then he manages to find another way to screw it up again. Just like when it looks like we got it all straightened out, here comes Greg to screw it up again. Man, this guy is just amazing. I'll bet you if Duff took in his personal proctologist, they would find 50 horseshoes, 185 four-leaf clovers, and God only knows what up inside his
rectum.
Who knows what?
Attention, and
maybe
the,
maybe Richard Gere's lucky gerbil could be in there too. You remember he used to have a gerbil named Lucky?
Oh, it wasn't so lucky.
Maybe that blind dog is in there too, the one that's blind, deaf, and dumb, and with three legs. Oh God, Greg, get your sign and quit dicking around. Oh, I didn't say that, did I?
No, I didn't hear nothing.
Oh. That's a different thing. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless. As a matter of fact, now that I think of it, we actually can say that once or twice.
What?
WQAM, hello.
Good afternoon, Neil.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
It's come to my attention that the disciples are now faxing. Reverend Jones will not be.
Oh, jeez. Like I said, you won't be on the air again. I decided that during the vacation, okay? There's no way that crowd is going to be on air again. If, you know, once in a while, if we want to drop in a cutie of our own here on this end, like...
You're gay.
Yeah, that would be good. The first word I heard sounded like the phoniest voice I've ever heard in my life, and I thought, well, you know...
And it was.
I'm in a good mood, and it was. Forget about it, okay? Go find another show. Go lease some time there on Waxy. They got plenty of time to sell. Go lease some time on those make-believe on WFALL, whatever that is, Fall Radio. WQAM, hello.
How you doing, Neil?
Pretty good.
The thing is, that's not me.
Yeah, we know. WQAM, hello.
Hello, Neil.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Pretty good.
You got the greatest idea. You do your show from another country and another land.
Yeah.
And all the crap. These people just want to kill each other. It all starts with Howard David. He is the instigator.
He is.
And don't say dick anymore.
Wow, they are in a frenzy now, aren't they?
Just when
they thought, when they know they're going to get their water cut off, man, when they start like getting Josh Beckett disease, who knows what they're going to be drinking next? 5670560. These are good. I told you, let's get a lot of great calls this last hour. We're not building no poll today because poll building's boring. Put George back on. Get Geldy on. Anything.
Retire.
Right. We haven't had that in quite a while yet. And you want to know why? They're starting to get nervous with this summertime deal coming. I mean, they liked you a lot last week, but, you know, after a couple of weeks of that sniffing ass. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
I wish I was on hold for all these dumps that are going on.
Oh, yeah. Even in the QMT room, they never had as many dumps.
Right. Regarding the 2000 election results.
Yes.
Have you ever talked about database technologies and the voter purge lists?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just saw a documentary called Unprecedented, and it just it nails it.
It blows your mind, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, the fix was in long before the count was stopped or any of that, you know?
No question about it.
Unbelievable. All right, man.
But you know something? Even with the fix being in before the vote was, even with that, if they would have kept counting, he still would have lost.
Sure.
That's why they had to get these Supremes in there, Diana Ross and Token Thomas and that whole bunch.
Right.
Good luck to us, Pally.
Well, it's just, I mean, you could have race riots over stuff like this, you know what I mean?
I'll see you at the border.
Yep. Later.
You know, I got this spot for Brandy's here, and I'm sure that there's a tag, because every week they have a great special sale at Brandy's, but we don't have any tag for this week. And I have a feeling that Troy Stratford may have been kidnapped or something.
It's not him anymore. We had one for last week.
Troy!
Yeah, but we don't have one for this week. That's my point. Last week was last week. This week is this week. Do we have one for this week?
Troy!
Whose account is it now?
Berkeley.
Oh, well, forget about that. She is whoever. Have I ever met her?
No, you've never had. She's all right.
But what do you mean she's all right? She may be the nicest person. Maybe she, sniffs your armpits or whatever, but she sure as hell ain't doing no job on these accounts. We got Emerald Coast doing Father's Day spots. We got Brandy Shoes with no tag. We got that one that you know about that I don't even want to mention on the air that's become a major project because Todd Dreck is a Mongolian idiot. And in the meanwhile, Muff is back there playing grab ass with Clarence in the programming office, and none of this stuff is getting done. Not that it's their job, but if we're going to let Screw-Ann handle it, forget about that. She's too busy handling other things.
Roy!
And then when she heard about that Rasputin picture, well, forget about today. She's
attention,
busy.
Attention, man.
Yeah. 113 at 560 WQM. You know, when you shop for quality footwear, great selection and professional service, the only place to take those feet is Brandy Shoes in Pompano Beach. They've been doing it right for years and years and years. At Brandy's, you'll find the largest selection of men's and women's shoes, the best service, and the best prices in town. At Brandy's, you find the top names in the shoe business. So what's not to like? They got them all. They got Rockports, Florsheim, SAS, Sperry, Timberland, Naturalizer, and lots more. And with Brandy's humongous selection, you can just about bet Berkeley's life on it that whatever you need is in stock right now, ready to slap on your feet for men, ladies, and in between. Find out why most of Brandy's customers not just keep coming back, but usually buy several pair, or is that pairs, on each visit to the store, because you can't beat the prices and the selection, too. Brandy's is open daily, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 9, Sundays 10 to 5. And this week, they got a great special on. Go in and check out this week at Brandy's. They're at 1290 North Federal Highway in Pompano Beach. Always worth the trip. Be sure and tell them that old Berkeley sent you by.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Oh, my God! It's a severed head!
Yes, severed head. The new fad that's sweeping the nation. Everyone who's anyone has got a severed head. And if you think it's not for you, then just listen to this dramatized version of an actual letter sent to us by a satisfied severed head customer.
Okay, that makes $623 for all your Halloween candy.
Well, $623? Isn't that a lot for a bag of candy?
Well, it's our finest mixture. You do get the caramel corn balls, the tapioca sugar daddies, and the juice-filled wax pumpkins.
Well, I guess it is a good deal. Except for this severed head in the middle of the Zagnut bar!
Sweet, but jeez! I'm so sorry! Please let me give you all this Halloween candy for free!
You'd better.
Yes, a severed head is your ticket to thousands of discounts and freebies worldwide. So pick up yours today. And remember, if it's not dead, it's not severed head.
Don't forget, this summer when you have a really desperate day for a pull.
Yeah, when?
What would you rather have as a souvenir, a severed head or a Rasputin's penis?
Well, which one goes on the end of a keychain better?
An Iraqi militant group has beheaded its South Korean hostage, Al Jazeera TV reports today. The Pan-Arab station said it received a videotape. I wonder how long before we'll get to see it.
5 minutes.
A videotape showing that Kim Sun-il had been executed. Kim, 33, worked for a South Korean company supplying the U.S. military in Iraq and was abducted last week, according to the South Korean government. Al Jazeera, which had not broadcast the tape, said the execution was carried out by the Al-Qaeda-linked group Monotheism and Jihad. Oh, what a great combination. News of the beheading reached the White House in the midst of a briefing by spokesman Scott McClellan, who was not aware of the report. That would be horrible news, he said. There simply is no justification. Isn't that a great response? There is simply no justification for those kinds of atrocities that the terrorists carry out. As if somebody would say, oh, yes, there's a justification. You're wrong. God, what an idiot. We've seen some of the barbaric nature of the terrorists recently when it comes to an American citizen that was killed in Saudi Arabia. It's a reminder of the true nature of the terrorists. Right, they only hijacked four, and they were going to hijack 10 planes if they could, but the deal fell through. Four planes and flew them into buildings, and one got taken over and flown into the ground and killed 3,000 people. But now we're finding out that they're barbaric and they're lunatics, which is all the more reason why not a single one of you ought to accept the fact that we've been spending these billions of dollars for the last year plus invading a country that we have no business invading, that was not a hotbed of terrorism, that wasn't a threat to us, instead of using that money to go find Osama Yamama and all these other Saudi lunatic killers. Really interesting how, you know, how lazy we are in going after these Saudis, isn't it? You don't think that there's some connection there, do you? Not that I'm paranoid, you understand that.
What'd they ever do?
Right. Not much. Went in there and took over the oil fields and decided that they were the rulers. Set up a whole bunch of religious schools for all and turned everybody into a religious nut. All the schleppers that are living there, living like peasants. Remember that? Remember the show on 60 Minutes with the Sheik a year or two ago?
Which one?
The one where he was looking at the stock market and, you know, they were all coming there to kiss his ring.
Oh,
and that whole
yeah,
deal.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Sickening. They're disgusting. They're the scum of the earth. And because they got all that OIL, I'll guarantee you right now, if they didn't have all that OIL, we'd just blow them off the mat tomorrow.
Sure,
just get it over with.
Just for fun.
And the world would be a much more beautiful place. High court sides with HMOs to limit patients' right to sue. We got a couple of supreme thing here. And by the way, don't count any more votes. Patients cannot sue health maintenance organizations under state law for refusing to pay for doctor-recommended care. The Supreme Court ruled yesterday in a decision that could affect millions of Americans. In other words, screw you guys. The justices unanimously ruled that a 1974 federal law, the Employer Retirement Income Security Act, completely preempted such lawsuits brought in state court by patients who seek damages from their HMOs over the denial of medical care. The state laws have become important as Congress has failed to adopt national legislation that would allow patients to sue their health maintenance organization in a federal court for medical malpractice. The Supreme Court decision involved a law in President Bush's home state of Texas that allowed patients to sue HMOs over their medical treatment. The court's decision has election year political overtones. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry said the ruling showed a need for a national law to hold HMOs accountable for decisions that harm patients by denying necessary care. Democrats criticized the U.S. Justice Department for opposing the Texas law before the high court. They said Bush, who was Texas governor when the law took effect in 97, had supported it during his 2000 presidential campaign. The decision was a victory for insurers, which have warned that allowing the lawsuits would drive up health care costs. Millions of Americans participated in employer-provided HMO health plans governed by the 1974 federal law. At least nine other states have laws similar to the Texas one: Arizona, California, Georgia, Maine, New Jersey, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Washington, and West Virginia. And who in their right mind would ever want to be in West Virginia? You know what I think of when I think of West Virginia? Two things. Charlestown Racetrack and coal miners getting black lung disease.
Right.
Those are the only two things I think about when I think of West Virginia. Now, I can't remember if I was ever in West Virginia. I think I drove through it real fast.
Yeah.
Just like Delaware. Oh, if you ever get to Delaware, drive through there real fast. Floor it.
Okay.
Court rejects Jenny Jones' case appeal, and rightfully so, by the way. The Supreme Court rejected an appeal Monday from the family of a guest murdered days after he admitted a secret crush on another man during the taping of the Jenny Jones show. The family of Scott Amador won a $29.3 million award against Warner Brothers and the talk show, but the decision was later thrown out. A Michigan appeals court ruled against the family last year. In an appeal to the Supreme Court, the family claimed that the Michigan judges were biased and should have disqualified themselves from the case. The lawsuit stemmed from Amador's death in 1995, three days after he appeared on the show with Jonathan Schmitz. Amador revealed his attraction to Schmitz during the taping of the show in Chicago. The show never aired. Schmitz is now serving a 25 to 50-year prison sentence for second-degree murder.
Yeah, he won't find any faggery there.
No. Let me say it again. What's it to you? None of your business. Forget about it.
Huh. Easily.
Yeah. No, I asked Mo who he was getting Lenny on the side. You know, he said...
Forget about it.
Right. I mean, he's got that lovely wife that he loves so dearly and puts up with his crap, which is, she's got to be, really, a princess. Well, I shouldn't use that word.
Prince?
She must have the patience of Job. Because how can anybody put up with his crap, like morning, noon, and night, in the sack? You think that he has to take that piece off before he enters the sack?
He has to take
it. In fact, maybe he's got a special sack where he hides it.
There's a special piece he's got to put on.
ticket apiece. 803 votes. What's your take on Bill Clinton? He was much better than W. 373. Life was great. Oh, breaking news. Oh, that's the end of the breaking news. That was about the South Korean. I thought it was going to be something good. He was much better than W. 373. 40. I thought it was going to be like, oh, the president just got impeached. Something like that. Real good, important news. 46.5% say Bubba was much better than what we got now. 31.6 additional percent say he's the greatest, 254. They love him. They're going out and buying the book. Not that they're going to read it, but they just want to make sure he gets the money. That's 78%. He was an embarrassment, 95, 11.8%. His ego is out of control, 37. He has a nifty penis, 23. Even Rasputin voted for that one. He's trying to upstage John Kerry, 11, and he was weak, only 10 out of over 800 votes. Aren't you impressed?
Yeah, but we knew that. They love him.
We all loved him, especially relative to what we got now. Pop Hadjenko, look what we got. As Santino would say, if he weren't shot up on the causeway. For your father, for your father. Oh, that's right, I gotta watch on Spike TV, I gotta watch Wednesday night, the last 4 hours of their 8,000 hour Godfather, like unexpurgated from the very beginning, with all the scenes, I mean, right. Wow. Whoa. Isn't there really something now that, like, you can go back and watch Exorcist again, and there's scenes that they didn't even film are in there, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, it's magic.
Godfather, they got the scene of the nurse and Michael actually moving Marlon Brando from the one room to the other, which in the original Godfather, you don't see that. You just see, he says, you got to help me move my father. She comes in, and it's really scary because he's standing there, and you see her all of a sudden, you know. What are you doing here? You know? And then he calls up somebody, there's nobody here. Pops all alone, you know. And, but in the unexpurgated one, you actually see them move the bed mm-hmm. from the one room into another one, which isn't all that important, except that Michael then hears the footsteps coming up very slowly, you know, very dramatically. Those footsteps echoing through the halls of that empty hospital. Who are you? Yeah. Enzo the Baker. 26 after 1 at 560 WQM. Hey, U.S. is accused of trying to isolate UN agency. We'll get to that very briefly. Because, you know what? Population control, we don't like that. Bad stuff. Probably the Pope probably gave a little thumbs up to El Presidente on that when he was over there in the Vatican, kissing his ring and his thing. Hey, it's summertime. Days are getting longer. Nights are getting shorter, which means it's so important for you to get a good night's sleep. If you're not sleeping as well as you could or should, call 1-800-MATTRESS today, and voila, you'll be sleeping on the best mattress in history. Millions of people, including me, have dialed 1-800-MATTRESS for the lowest prices on the best brands in bedding, the easiest possible way to buy you a name brand mattress. Save time, save money, improve your productivity, brighten your disposition with a really sensational night's sleep every night. Dollar Mattress is ranked number one in customer satisfaction. They were winners of the 2004 Better Business Bureau Local Torch of Excellence Award. When you call 1-800-MATTRESS, you'll get the best prices on the best brands with delivery in that two-hour window on your schedule when it's convenient for you and, of course, the best customer service in the business. Dollar Mattress has got the complete line of Sealy, Serta, King Coil, Simmons, Tempur-Pedic, and Stearns and Foster Hewitt. From Kendall to Stewart, Palm Beach to Fort Myers, Dollar Mattress can and will deliver you the finest bedding going anywhere. Everybody at QM is catching on. They're calling 1-800-MATTRESS for their beds, and you ought to be doing the same. Just log on to mattress.com to get more info or call them toll-free for Dollar Mattress, the easiest possible way to get you a great night's sleep. 1-800-MATTRESS, 1-800-MATTRESS.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
Okay, boo?
This is the Grill, and we're talking hardball on 560 WQAM. Call me, homie, right here at 567-H-O-H-O. Oh, 56, call me, homie. Let's be talking to Steve in Miami. Steve, you're with me, Warren Kamati.
Well, Crow, what do the Marlins have to do to win the World Series this year?
Oh, that's an easy one, Steve. They got to swing the bat, hit the ball, pitch some strikes. Remember, the game of baseball is 50% hitting. That's almost half. 50% fielding, 50% pitching, and 25% managing.
But, Crow, that's 175%.
What? Don't you be questioning me. Would you be ignorant?
Be what?
Ignorant. Ignorant, I said. You be ignorant.
Well, no, I'm not ignorant.
Boy, I played professional baseball in a third world country against men half my size. Did you?
Well, actually, I...
Not even that.
I played in...
Not even that.
Are you gonna...
Not even that.
Can
not
I...
Not even that. Call me, homie. I'm the Crow. Out at gate G. Elemental P.
132 at 560. There's only one Crow. After they made him, they threw away the mole. Thank God. But he's okay. He's one of our people. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I don't. Maybe he ought to do a walk-off show, you know, like one last walk-off. Come on, you can do it. You and Geldy together.
Ow!
Hand in hand. U.S. is accused of trying to isolate U.N. agency. The Bush administration, which cut off its share of financing 2 years ago to U.N. agencies handling population control, is seeking to isolate the agency from groups that work with it in China and elsewhere, U.N. officials and diplomats say. Pressed by opponents of abortion, the administration withdrew its support from a major international conference on health issues this month and has privately warned other groups like UNICEF that address health issues that their financing could be jeopardized if they insist on working with the agency, the United Nations Population Fund. Because anybody with a brain knows that one thing the world needs is a lot more population. If we could just have 100 billion people, things would really be good. The administration also has indicated that it hopes to persuade the United Nations Latin American Caucus to back away from a common position on population and development that was adopted in Santiago, Chile in March on the grounds that the document's discussion of reproductive rights could be interpreted as promoting abortion. Promoting abortion.
Oh, my God.
The actions are part of an administration effort to ensure that international agencies and private groups do not promote abortions overseas. In the first days in office, the Bush administration reintroduced the Reagan era that critics call the global gag rule, which denies money to groups that even discuss abortion as an option, except in cases that threaten life or involve rape or incest. I have to read that last sentence again. In the first days in office, the Bush administration reintroduced the Reagan era that critics called the global gag rule, which denies money to groups that even discuss abortion as an option, except in cases that threaten life or involve rape or incest. Unbelievable. Keeping us in the Stone Age. We don't want that stem cell research, even though all those embryonic stem cells are going to be discarded anyway. Pat Robertson don't like it, and Jerry Falwell don't like it, and Jimmy Swagger don't like it, and George W. don't like it, and we're not going to do it. We don't care how many people we can save. We don't care how much we can improve your life. We just ain't going to do it because the fundamentalists are running the roost.
How come it's okay in cases of
rape? Those good, honest people that would never do anything dishonest like fix an election. I beg your pardon?
How come it's okay in cases of rape? It's not the baby's fault.
Well, there's nothing like getting raped in it. That's what Mo said.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Paul Krugman, who's always good, has got an article here. I got to read this, too. I apologize, don't I, for all the reading?
No.
No, I don't care. I got to make up because you aren't going to be doing any reading all summer. Although, didn't you say you read what article?
The Larry King one.
Well, there you go.
It was short and important.
Right. About his, it depends on your viewpoint. Noonday in the Shade by Paul Krugman. He's great. I say, let's get Michael Moore for president, Paul Krugman for VP. What do you say? In April 2003, John Ashcroft's Justice Department disrupted what appears to have been a horrifying terrorist plot. In the small town of Noonday, Texas, FBI agents discovered a weapons cache containing fully automatic machine guns, remote-controlled explosive devices disguised as briefcases, 60 pipe bombs, and a chemical weapon, a cyanide bomb, big enough to kill everyone in a 30,000-square-foot building.
About 30, man!
Strangely, though, the Attorney General didn't call a press conference to announce the discovery of the weapons cache or the arrest of William Carrar, its owner. He didn't even issue a press release. This was, to say, at the least, out of character. Jose Padilla, the accused dirty bomber, didn't have any bomb-making material or even a plausible way to acquire such material, yet Mr. Ashcroft put him on the front pages around the world. Mr. Carrar was caught with an actual chemical bomb, yet Mr. Ashcroft acted as if nothing had happened. Incidentally, if Mr. Ashcroft's intention was to keep the case low profile, the media have been highly cooperative. To this day, the Noonday conspiracy has received little national coverage. At this point, I have the usual problem. Writing about John Ashcroft poses the same difficulties as writing about the Bush administration in general, only more so. The truth about his malfeasance is so extreme that it's hard to avoid sounding shrill. In this case, it sounds over the top to accuse Mr. Ashcroft of trying to bury news about terrorists who didn't fit his preferred storyline, yet it's hard to believe that William Carrar wouldn't have become a household name if he had been a Muslim or even a leftist. Was Mr. Ashcroft, who once gave an interview with Southern Partisan magazine in which he praised Southern patriots like Jefferson Davis, reluctant to publicize the case of a terrorist who happened to be a white supremacist? More important, is Mr. Ashcroft neglecting real threats to the public because of his ideological biases? Mr. Carrar's arrest was not the result not of a determined law enforcement effort against domestic terrorists, but of a fluke. When he sent a package containing counterfeit UN and Defense Intelligence Agency credentials to an associate in New Jersey, it was delivered to the wrong address. Luckily, the recipient opened the package and contacted the FBI. But for that fluke, we might have well found ourselves facing another Oklahoma City-type atrocity. The discovery of the Texas cyanide bomb should have served as a wake-up call. 9/11 has focused our attention on the threat from Islamic radicals, but murderous right-wing fanatics are still out there. The concerns of the Justice Department, however, appear to lie elsewhere. 2 weeks ago, a representative of the FBI appealed to an industry group for help in combating what, he told the audience, the FBI regards as the country's leading domestic terrorist threat, ecological and animal rights extremists. Even in the fight against foreign terrorists, Mr. Ashcroft's political leanings have distorted policy. Mr. Ashcroft is very close to the gun lobby, and these ties evidently trump public protection. After 9/11, he ordered that all government lists, including voter registration, immigration, and driver's license lists, be checked for links to terrorists. All government lists, that is, except one, he specifically prohibited the FBI from examining background checks on gun purchasers. Mr. Ashcroft told Congress that the law prohibits the use of those background checks for other purposes, but he didn't tell Congress that his own staff had concluded that no such prohibition exists. Mr. Ashcroft issued a directive later put into law requiring that records of background checks on gun buyers be destroyed after only one business day. And we needn't imagine that Mr. Ashcroft was deeply concerned about protecting the public's privacy. After all, a few months ago, he took the unprecedented step of subpoenaing the hospital records of women who've had late-term abortions. After my last piece on Mr. Ashcroft, somebody just questioned whether he is really the worst attorney general ever. It's true that he has some stiff competition from the likes of John Mitchell, who served under Richard Nixon. But once the full record of his misdeeds in office is revealed, I think Mr. Ashcroft will stand head and shoulders below the rest. Good going, Paul. You the man. You got that Clinton book yet?
No.
Well, why not? I'm surprised one of our listeners hasn't forked out the $35 to bring you in a copy of the book so you and Josh can pore over it all summer long while I'm laying out.
I'll get the audio version. It's 6.5 hours long.
Oh, good. I endorse that right now. Be played on Tuesdays and Thursdays would be good.
All right.
All through the summer. 21 till 2, we got the Mad Dog at 2. We haven't had any retraction on that, so I guess the Mad Dog is in-house.
All right.
All right, it's about time. We got the Humper at 4, 6:30, you got Marlins on deck. And then, of course, 7:05, it's the Braves at the Marlins at PP Park right down the street there. Eddie K after the baseball game. When's Joe and Mark coming back? Oh, just a joke. Hey, if you're trying to lose weight by following a low-carb diet, the Delights of West Boca has helped thousands of low-carb dieters achieve their weight loss goals. Today, shopping for those right low-carb products become more and more difficult, more confusing. Because a lot of the so-called low-carb products on grocery store shelves aren't really as low as you think. They're not going to help you lose weight at all. In fact, they may make you do other things but not lose weight. Selecting foods with the right ingredients as well as the lowest carbs, that's the key. And Delights focuses on over 1,000 of the right low-carb food items and products. And don't forget, you can try anything in the store before you cash out, spend any cash for it, before you buy it. They've got a knowledgeable staff to guide you to success. So if you're on the Atkins, Sugar Buster, South Beach, any low-carb, sugar-free diet, head for Delights of West Boca, the number one low-carb store in the universe, and let these folks help you reach your important weight loss goals and stay alive. No pacemaker for you folks shopping at Delights, I hope. Unlike Fat Boy, who's well. They're open 7 days a week from 10 to 10. Delights of West Boca, they're on the northeast corner of Glades and 441, right next to Boston Market, or call them toll-free at 1-877-LOW-CARB, L-O-W-C-A-R-B, or on the web, it's lowcarb.com. There's only one, but boy, what a store it is. Delights of West Boca, your official Atkins Retail Center.
Live and local, this is 560.
The radio's all yours now.
QAM.
Know that the Lord even loves Neil Rogers.
Wow.
Hey, how you doing, honey? This is Bill Clinton, the President of the United States, and this is my State of the Women address. I've known a few girls who thought they were pretty hot, but Billy's here to tell you that girl, you're not. They used to wear makeup and rip away pants, but when they looked at me, they were under my trance. Whoa, you think you're special? Whoa. Paula Jones, you got a new nose. That don't impress me much. Well, you got the brain, but have you got the touch? Now, don't get me wrong. Well, I think you're all right. But that will keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. Let's move along, shall we? I think you'll remember this one. She had a tape recorder that she kept on her phone, and after she ate steak, she would bury the bone. She got herself some lipo and a tummy tuck, but she's still as ugly as a hockey puck. Whoa! Linda Tripp got some surgery. That don't impress me much. Well, you got the brain, but have you got the touch? Now, don't get me wrong, yeah, I think you're all right. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. I forgot me, buddy. Yeah, how about this next one? A big chunky girl with a purple beret. That damn Gap dress nearly put me away. Little secret meetings in the corridor. I could have taught Wilt Chamberlain how to score. Well, she thinks she's special. Well, she thinks she's something else. So, Monica, you lost 40 pounds. That don't impress me much. Well, you got the brains, but have you got the touch? Now, don't get me wrong. Well, I think you're all right. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. I've saved the best for last. Well, I've tried to cut the brakes on her car. No offense, but I think I'd rather sleep with Kenneth Starr. When she gives birth, I think her offspring should hatch. Big old legs and an ass to match. Oh, she thinks she's special. Oh, she thinks she's something else. So, Hillary, you're going to be a senator from New York. That don't impress me much. Well, you got the brains, but have you got the touch? Now, don't get me wrong, well, I think you're all right. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much. Thank you. That is my State of the Women address. I love you.
147 at 560 WQAM. The U.S. will hand legal custody of Saddam Hussein and an undetermined number of other former regime figures to the interim Iraqi government as soon as Iraqi courts issue warrants for their arrest and request a transfer, U.S. officials said today. However, I think we're a little bit nervous that they might just, you know, either let him go or hang him from some pole somewhere.
Yeah.
In addition to which, once he gets on the loose out there with all those other lookalike Sodoms, who the hell knows which, you know, which one has the Tony? However, the U.S. will retain physical custody of Sodom and the prisoners while giving Iraqi prosecutors and defense lawyers access to them, the official said, on condition of anonymity. In other words, we're going to keep the shackles on them for a few shekels, but they can, like, whatever, they can feed them. A military judge today refused to dismiss charges against Staff Sergeant Ivan Frederick the Tooth, one of seven American soldiers accused in the
Abu Ghraib
prison scandal. How come you're so newsy again, Neil? Because I feel like it. Go back to New York.
Hey, by the way, the Mad Dog is in Iceland.
He's doing a show from Iceland?
That's right, the Iceland Open golf
tournament. He's actually doing a show from there?
Yes.
Well, if it sounds as good as the setup they had for me in Amsterdam, it ought to be... Wow. Well, let's see. It's about 2 o'clock. It's about 5, 6 in the afternoon over there. I would think. I got to stick around for a few seconds and see how this sounds.
About 30, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to delay my lunch a couple of seconds.
All right.
How come that's not on here? Oh, that's at the big golf tournament. Oh, how sad. I love the Mad Dog, but boy, anybody on the station when they start with that golf stuff, oh, brother. Cleric dodges abuse charges in two nations. Somebody faxed this in before the show. I didn't want them to think that we're not going to use this.
Okay.
Because we're always looking for a good child molesting priest. Cleric dodges abuse charges in two nations from the Dallas Morning News. The Mexican bishop had trouble on his hands. An attacker had nearly killed one of his priests whose sexual misconduct was well known to the bishop. And now villagers were telling police about a stream of young male visitors to the priest's parish residence. The U.S. bishop had a different problem, a lack of Spanish-speaking priests to serve a growing immigrant population. And so, in 1987, the Reverend Nicholas Aguiar got a fresh start in Southern California. Just 9 months later, he was on the move again, leaving behind one of the largest child sex abuse cases in Los Angeles Archdiocese history.
Oh, my God.
Again, scandal was contained within the priest hiding abroad. You ever hide abroad? Sometime in a broom closet.
Matter of fact.
Aguiar's tale of international flights fits a pattern that the Roman Catholic Church leaders have repeated around the world. A year-long Dallas Morning News investigation has found. I'm going to read that again. See, we had that big, you know, dog and pony show there for a few weeks, and they're all whipped up and they're having a conference in Dallas, no less, all of that baloney. Now it's just back to business as usual. Aguiar's tale of international flight fits a pattern that Roman Catholic Church leaders have repeated around the world. A year-long Dallas Morning News investigation has found. In this case, the two bishops have become prominent figures in the global Catholic hierarchy. One, the Reverend Norberto Rivera, is now Mexico City's cardinal and one of his country's most powerful men. The other, Los Angeles Cardinal Roger Mahoney, leads the largest diocese in the U.S. Aguiar is more than just an old skeleton in their closets after dodging criminal charges in California, where police said that he had molested at least 26 boys. He was charged in a 1997 Mexican abuse case. Church leaders kept him in a ministry while the matter was pending, and even after his conviction in 2003. Recently, he was spared punishment on a technicality, a Mexican judge said. Rivera did not respond to the news written request for information about the priest. Asked after a recent mass what had become of Aguiar since his return to Mexico, the cardinal said, "I'm absolutely ignorant." He would not elaborate. That's the greatest line in history. Oh, my God.
Absolutely correct, sir.
Let me read that one again. Asked after a recent mass what became of Aguiar since his return to Mexico, the cardinal said, "I'm absolutely ignorant." He would not elaborate. And I think he probably didn't need to, right?
No, we know.
Oh, brother. 152 at 560 WQM. The Mad Dog from Iceland. Gee, if we'd have known at the beginning of the show, we could have been promoting like crazy. Can you imagine people from pillar to post and coast to coast be gathered around their radio sets? Just like listening to Foster Hewitt and Hockey Night in Canada in 1932. Or something like that. Hey, let me tell you right now, if your carpets are a mess, there's one way to take care of it, and that is make one easy call to my good friends at Dry Concepts, toll-free at 1-800-248-5071. I've been using them in my house in several homes for over 20 years now and wouldn't dream of calling anybody else because nobody comes close to the fantastic job they do for you. No games, no per-room scams, none of that BS. They don't play games with it. They just do an unbeatable, fantastic job. They give you a guaranteed written price up front before they roll up their sleeves and then do that great job of dry cleaning your carpets. Same idea as dry cleaning your clothing. In a couple of hours, your carpets are dry already. They smell lemony fresh. They look and smell just like brand new, and you're ready to rock and roll again. So you really can clean today and still entertain tonight. So what's not to like? Forget about opening up the Yellow Pages and trusting your carpeting to some axe murderer. Forget about schlepping home that heavy equipment from the department store or the supermarket. Do the smart thing. With over 20 years continuous service in the South Florida area, you know you can always trust the folks at Dry Concepts for a stupendous job on your area rugs, on your oriental rugs, your carpeting, your upholstery, your drapery, all of these things. And when you call Dry Concepts and set up the appointment, be sure and tell them you want to be on their standby list, which can save you an extra 15% off their already unbelievable job. Here's their toll-free number. It's 1-800-248-5071. That's 1-800-248-5071. Or you can get more info about them on their website at dryconcepts.com.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Let's abuse some more prisoners. Make them scream nice and loud.
Oh!
Get me some wires and a battery pack. I don't care if they ain't from Iraq. Should be used to the torture.
Ow!
'Cause we're just playing their game.
Oh!
In the past, it had to be worse with Saddam Hussein.
Anytime they see that we're lagging in the polls, they throw out a headline that will lead you by the nose.
Hussein, they said, is the one to get. Now they have only one.
Don't worry about Saddam, we got him. Now we're all pumping and safe. We got him. He won't attack us no more. We got him. Praise Bush like Jesus.
You say 9/11 is what they got you to believe. Can't get any dumber than a one-party country. You believe what they say, like the gullible fool, as they use the states for their corporate tool. For the election off, we got 'em.
All right.
Bush has got his king. We got him.
I have no right.
Get down on your knees. We got him.
Okay, almost the Mad Dog time from Iceland, no less. Is this Reykjavik, I'm assuming?
I don't know.
Because the only two cities I know in Iceland are Reykjavik and Keflavik. But anyway, a poll today. What's your take on Bill Clinton? He was much better than W, 414. We had almost 900 votes today. Not too bad. He's the greatest, 275. He was an embarrassment, 101. His ego is out of control, 41. He has a nifty penis, 26. He was weak, 13. And he's trying to upstage Kerry, which at this stage of the game shouldn't be too hard, 11. John Kerry, is he still alive?
I'll go check.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah?
How can you tell?
Bye, bye, bye!
The Neil Rogers Show on 560 WQAM, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, my God, your breasts are beautiful.